morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Thursday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Yeah.
We got a big show today.
Yeah, it's a huge show.
It's a second to last show for you this year, buddy.
Oh, no.
Getting ready to go on vacay.
Yes, I am.
Only a few shows left until Christmas, everybody. Get your Christmas shopping done. I need to start that.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's December 18th. Probably need to get on that soon.
Probably.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. I'm willing to bet we started like we always do.
Yes.
Static.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, guys. Matthew from Albuquerque. What's up?
Oh, you know.
What's up with you?
Just chilling, expecting your phone call.
Well, guys, you know what? I hate to say this, but over the break, while I'm off on winter break, that starts tomorrow, I will be calling in because I'm going to be sleeping in.
He's going to be sleeping in, everybody.
Sleeping in.
I can say this, guys, this semester has been a lot of fun. You know, a lot of good things have happened. You know, not only did I go to homecoming, I worked with the football team from the start of June this last summer. As you all have known, if you guys have been listening to Static for a long time, even if you started listening in the summer on June 1st, a lot of things have happened. You know, a lot of good things.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You know, there is blessings and then nail biters and
curses.
Well, probably, yes, a couple of times.
But then again,
I learned a lot of things. You know, being in a lot of these classes like business, marketing, and finance, there's a lot of things you can learn, and it's an easy class. The only thing is you just have to stay on top of your notes, stay on top of your work, and keep your grade up. That's like that for all classes.
So, Matthew, this is your last. Notes, no? This is your last time calling in, basically, until next year.
Mm. Pretty much, unless I have to wake up early for some reason, guys.
All right, man. We need your quick year in review, the highlights and the lowlights of 2014 for Matthew from Albuquerque.
Oh, the highlights and lowlights, huh? Let's see. This year, at the beginning of 2014 in January, I was a freshman. You know, guys, that was my freshman year at the beginning of 2014. Because that was like the second semester, ending of it. I went to winter ball last year, which was the beginning of this year, and then a lot of things. Then I had my birthday, of course, you guys know, which it's not just my birthday in advance for that. It's also the day I started calling into the station. So I literally celebrated 2 years calling in.
That's glorious, buddy.
Yep. And then, hey, I finished my freshman year. Then the summer happened. I started working with the Hawks football team. I was their manager. June, July, August, September, October, and then November the 1st was the homecoming dance. I had a lot of fun with my cousin Ashley. We had a great time. Then December just went by fast, school as usual. Then, of course, last week we had our finals.
Man, very cool. Just walked us down memory lane.
And you know, there have been good things, guys. Sean from Albuquerque, you guys remember Sean Stevo, right?
Yeah.
He actually got a job recently.
What? Wow. That's good news.
Yeah, a job, yes.
When are you going to get a job?
He wasn't done.
Probably when I'm 16. My mom and dad will not sign a work permit.
Yeah.
So I'm only 15. I have to wait till I'm 16 to get a job. I've actually been putting together my resume lately. As a matter of fact, my advisor, Becca, has been helping me put the resume together.
It's good
like,
news.
Like, get everything tied up and make it look nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that way, so I'm ready to go. I mean, so I don't have to scramble at the last minute going, oh, where's my resume? Oh, I don't have one. You start going, you know.
Yeah.
Good to plan ahead, right, Steve-O?
Yep, always plan ahead. Speaking of planning ahead, what do you want to hear next?
Let's see. This morning, you know what, guys? I think everyone needs to wake up this morning.
Yes.
Be happy. Us APS students, last day of school, a Volcano Vista Semester 1, to play Fall Goliath Ball by Project A6. This is going to go out to everyone at Volcano Vista High School, home of the Hawks. Good morning, everyone. Wake up. Be happy. It's the last day of the semester.
And you know what? Being that is your last time calling in this year, I'm going to totally honor that request, bro.
Yay!
We'll play Fall Goliath Ball.
Thank you, guys. Hey, you know what? Merry Christmas.
We did
Feliz Navidad, everyone.
Feliz
Have a great year.
Bruh.
And remember, as always, it's great to be a Hawk.
Great to be a Hawk.
Over and out.
Go
all
Creed.
Right,
over and out.
Go Creed.
Last time this year. Last time this year,
that
guys.
That was the last. So we won't even hear from him on Friday tomorrow.
Nope.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about gospel for Asia anyway.
That's right. Tomorrow, big day for us. GFA Day.
GFA Day. Gospel for Asia Day. We're going to talk about goats and chickens and...
Golly Friday, America.
Golly Friday, America.
It's gospel
for Asia.
Hashtag
Golly Friday, America.
There you go. Big day tomorrow. That's right. Gospel for Asia. We're going to be doing a rad team up tomorrow. It's like those times when like the X-Men and Spider-Man got together and they were like, let's do this because there's an epic battle to be won.
That's right.
And then we're going to win that battle.
And we're Spider-Man.
And it starts in the villages.
The villages. Spider-Man can't web-sling in a village.
He can't. That's true.
Then why did we pick Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Why didn't we pick Swamp Thing?
That's... Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't we pick Black Panther? That would have been ingenious.
That... Yeah.
It's like when the X-Men team up with Black Panther and we're Black Panther.
Here's the problem. Wanted Storm to be on the team with the X-Men.
Yeah, but...
And Black Panther are currently going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So...
They don't like each other.
Yeah, so you don't want to... You want her to be focused
guys,
and, like, on top of her game.
Comics are about real problems.
Yeah, man.
They got married, and it was a trophy wife situation.
It really was.
And T'Challa is just too busy trying to govern the kingdom of Wakanda.
Right.
And Storm has her school, and there's just two different directions.
And that is why we couldn't use them for Gospel for Asia Day.
That's right. And we won't use them.
We can't use them.
Because.
Breaking news and birthdays coming up. It's going to be a good day. Steve Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Oh, man. I left my coffee all the way over there.
Ugh.
Hang on.
First of all, in breaking news, we need likes on Facebook. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We're at 6,166. 666.
That's not right. That's 6,166.
No, 666.
Let's get this to a 6 and then have 4 6s. What happens then?
Oh, I don't know. It's too many 6s, guys.
Too many 6s.
Guys, we need likes. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Hang on.
Bless you.
I had a sneeze. It's okay. All right, today is December 18th, 2014. The number of the day is 32. And that's U.S. states that grow apples commercially. 32 U.S. states grow apples. I guess Johnny Appleseed didn't do his job.
Mm.
32 out of 50.
It'd be kind of hard to grow apples in Alaska, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, right. Science. Get those scientific apples up there growing. Doug, science? He knows about it. Doug is a master of science.
They do grow some amazing fish up there, though.
If you guys don't believe that Doug's a master of science, just go follow him on Twitter. You'll get some knowledge laid down on you. The Sony email hack reveals that Alex Trebek threatened to quit over a dispute with executives.
It was over his mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw another thing where he almost walked away. Okay.
It wasn't over
the real thing that he almost walked away over is because they did a kid episode, and the kid went into debt, and so he had to explain to the child that she would get $1,000, like, you know, pity pay or whatever. Like, I guess if you're a contestant, even if you go in the negative, you get $1,000, but you can't play anymore because you go in the negative. And I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that on Jeopardy, but I guess that's a rule.
Yeah, so,
like,
within
the game, if you go negative,
right,
you're done playing, but you get a consolation prize of $1,000. And so he explained that to the little girl, but I guess the mom got mad because the little girl, like, they had to reshoot it because she ran off crying. And then Alex Trebek was like, look, I've been doing this for... And he got mad because they totally were like... The executives were like, hey, no, you just go with it and don't say anything and tell them you're sorry and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't think that he had done anything wrong.
Right.
And he was like, I've been doing this for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not a threat or anything, but maybe it's my time to go, because I always stick up for the show and I always stick up for you guys. And then this happens and everybody's like, no, just bend over.
Right.
You know? So
Alex Trebek.
He's been doing it a long time. And it was really, the way he worded it was, I think it had some language in there, but it was kind of like he was being honest. You know, he wasn't being like,
right.
It wasn't doing that.
So it's if in Final Jeopardy, like you can play the whole round, but at the end of the game, like if you're in the negative, you can't do Final Jeopardy.
Yeah. Because
you don't have any money to bid.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Sony hack. That is the big news.
This is crazy.
Well, not the biggest news. The biggest news is the atrocities committed in Pakistan over the last week or whatever. That's crazy.
Because it's not funny, but what's crazy is this is taking precedence. And you're right. There are much bigger things going on in the world. But this, this is a crazy story.
Yeah. So this is coming from CNN, as the United States gets ready to blame the Sony hack on North Korea, a troublesome question is emerging. Just what is North Korea capable of? Experts say the nation has spent scarce resources on building up a unit called Bureau 121 to carry out cyber attacks. North Korea has been blamed in the past for attacks in South Korea, but the Sony hack, if indeed North Korea is behind it, would seem to represent an escalation of tactics. I think we underestimated North Korea's cyber capability, says Victor Cha, director of Asian Studies at Georgetown University. They certainly didn't evidence this sort of capability in the previous attacks. He was referring to attacks on South Korean broadcasters and banks last year. It sounds like they were doing a warm-up.
Man.
Man, so anyway, Sony Pictures is devastated, and they have officially pulled the movie The Interview.
Before it hits theaters, they canceled it.
They have pulled the movie. It's done. They have shelved it. And they have no plans for DVD or any type of release. It just says they are canceled. No further release plans for the film, a studio spokesperson said in response to question about digital distribution. Now, there's two sides to this coin that I feel like we can talk about. Because number one, this means that the dictator of some country across the world has in fact limited freedom of expression in America by threatening terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Huge deal.
But on the other hand, I think it was a good choice to pull the move because they were threatening to kill people.
Right.
And it's like, is that worth it?
Over Seth Rogen. Can we just give Seth Rogen to North Korea?
I mean, if it was Jurassic World,
maybe.
Different scenario.
Totally different scenario.
You know?
I'm not a huge Seth Rogen fan.
If it was Star Wars The Force Awakens, probably would have been riots in the streets.
Yeah.
But we're talking to Seth Rogen, James Franco.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Anyway. So I see where people are really upset that it's like, hey, they weren't going to do anything because they probably weren't. But as we saw with what happened in Aurora, Colorado, with, you know, like the Dark Knight Rises and all that, when that happened, it's not worth it just to have some movie come out.
No.
I don't think anybody would really. It's like, is it worth it to, if they're going to do anything, is it worth taking the chance of people dying? You know, they canceled the premiere in New York because there was a direct threat. It's like, remember 9/11.
Which, I mean, you start saying big things like that, the movie's not worth it.
Yeah. And if it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, but this is a blah, 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 this is an attack on our freedom, then I would say you probably hate airport security or something like that. Because it's all based on the off chance of somebody doing something.
Yeah. I follow a few random celebrities, if you will, on Twitter.
Yeah.
And all of them were just out crying that this was a sad day for their art and that this is a drastic, like, negative.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Basically, nobody agreed with Sony. Like, everybody's like, no, you put it out. Freedom of art, freedom of expression.
Yeah, but the five major theater chains had already decided throughout the day yesterday they weren't going to show it.
Yeah.
And think about it. If that was your business, would you not do the same thing?
Exactly.
Would you show, like, if you say you're a restaurant and there's this food item that somehow carries this disease that could possibly break out, but maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, say you have, like, a shipment of tomatoes. and the tomatoes are, everything's good, and you're getting ready to put them out, and then you get a phone call, and it says, hey, I put salmonella in the tomatoes. Right. I don't, you know, I'm making this up.
So, obviously,
that's not how salmonella gets in the tomato. I don't even know if you can get that. But anyway, say that happens. There's a threat.
Right.
You're the business owner. Do you put the tomatoes out?
No.
No, because you're going to get sued.
Yeah.
If somebody gets sick, they're going to be like, you put these out and you knew about it? I'm taking you down. So think about that. If you're a theater chain, or I would even go as far to say Sony Pictures now, are you going to put this out? What if people die?
Right.
And then you're going to be like, freedom of expression of art.
Gosh.
We had to kill people for it.
Ugh.
Yeah, right. Come on. They'll distribute this thing later. Now, one thing I do think is very funny is that there are some theaters in Texas that are deciding they're gonna play Team America World Police.
Yeah, creators of South Park, Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Which is funny because that movie came out, what, like 10,
yeah,
12 years ago or something like that? And Kim Jong-un's dad,
yeah,
whoever that guy
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il, they make fun of that cat in that movie hard.
Yeah.
Hard in that movie. And so...
You don't mess with Texas, bro.
No.
Texas is
like, hey... Bring it on.
They're like, cool, man. It's a free showing, and they're handing out American flags.
Bill Peterson tells me that Bugs Bunny made fun of Hitler. He used to watch that stuff live.
Yeah. Yesterday. No, I see what you did. Yes, there was a lot of people that were posting photos of Charlie Chaplin as Hitler as well, because there was a film that he did mocking Hitler. And back then, America said, bring it.
Look at this. North Korea-based thriller with Gore Verbinski and Steve Carell has been canceled.
Yeah, they were going to be shooting in North Korea, and they just full-on canceled the film altogether.
Wow.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, too, because unofficially North Korea has been blamed. But if it comes out and they're like, no, this was actually... Because I was reading a thing yesterday, and it said that because they have such scarce resources in North Korea, this had to have come from the top.
Yeah.
This had to have come from Kim Jong-un himself. And that is going to be an interesting scenario.
Yeah.
Because that means that he intentionally ordered
a cyber attack on
another country. And that's going to be interesting.
Gosh.
What happens then?
Over Seth Rogen!
Yeah, I mean, come
on. James Franco, guys!
If you need any indicator of how out of touch North Korea is, they just cyber attacked America over a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie.
Gosh,
it's not,
dude.
What happened?
I want to punch myself in the face when I watch their movies. I'm not a huge fan.
I like James Franco.
I don't mind James Franco as much, but Seth Rogen...
I've come to the point to where I don't like him anymore. What was the last movie I watched with him in it? And it just... That was the tip of it for me. I was done.
I know the last one I saw. Was it This Is the End?
Maybe. I think I saw another one with him in it recently.
And it was
just like, man, I'm done with this guy. I don't think he's funny anymore.
Green Hornet.
I used to think he was funny.
Green Hornet was his undoing for me. The movie was terrible.
The funniest thing he was in was 22 Jump Street when he's in that montage.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That's funny.
I forgot. He's in 0.8 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like, ha-ha! But if you notice, he's in Everybody's Everything.
Yeah.
Like James Franco hosted SNL a couple weeks ago.
Was he there?
He showed up for the monologue.
And I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything.
No.
I don't know him.
I can't
say that at all. I just don't think he's funny anymore.
It's like Seth MacFarlane. You do the same joke 90 times... And you're like, but I'm going to do it 6 different ways. It's still the same joke, man.
Man. Anyway, we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Over the holiday season. For now, we know. Oh, and that was another thing. The entertainment business is like, hey, this might keep people from going to the movies altogether.
Right.
And then that's going to really, really suck. Because you got Into the Woods coming out. You got all these people with these jobs, you know. And they're like, if people are scared to go to the movie theaters, then... Christmas Day is a huge movie release day.
Yeah.
Because a lot... You know, my family growing up, we would get up, celebrate Christmas morning, da-da-da-da-da, and then if we didn't have grandparents to go to, we would go to the movies.
That's exactly what
family.
We would do.
And it was fun.
Yep.
And we would always...
It's always good movies.
It's always good movies.
As good as it gets.
Yeah.
That was a Christmas Day movie.
We would go see... What did we go see? We would go see, like, the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, anything like those.
Allegedly.
Alleged.
I shouldn't say allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because this is a major news outlet, but the FBI has connected North Korea to the Sony Pictures cyber attack. This is according to a federal law enforcement source.
Ooh.
On Fox News.
Oh.
Well, we'll see.
So hours after the company announced it had scrapped the December 25th release of the interview, the administration reportedly will call out North Korea on its role Thursday. So allegedly, according to news sources.
It'll probably happen today.
Yeah, that's the first place I went to on my phone. It's the first place I went to on my phone.
Yeah. We've decided we just go to BBC.
Yeah.
Whenever we want to know what's really going on.
Yeah. Because they don't care. They don't care.
They don't have a stake in our American politics.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's continue with more breaking news. Also related to the Sony attack, Angelina Jolie revealed that she and Brad hired a cybersecurity team to keep their kids from trouble online.
Wow.
What were you about to say?
The FBI is leading the investigation.
Oh.
The U.S. government said it's considering a range of options on how to respond to the attack because they know that criminals in foreign countries regularly seek to gain access to government and private sector networks, both in the U.S. and elsewhere. The FBI is leading it. They're taking it very seriously. Any attempt to threaten or limit artistic freedom of speech, it's going to... U.S. media has quoted anonymous officials as saying the FBI has linked North Korea to the attacks, and they will be making a statement today.
Ooh.
Dude, this is crazy!
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Beyonce is being sued by a Hungarian folk singer for allegedly sampling the vocals from one of her recordings.
Whoa.
That's right. I've barely gotten through the news, and it's almost time for birthdays. Doug, do we have a lot of birthdays today? A lot. Let me see if there's anything in here worth reading.
The interview took over our breaking news now.
How they gonna do
that? Seth Rogen took over breaking news.
All right, real quick. They're gonna dump 18,000 tons of concrete into the Gulf of Mexico to create an artificial reef that will protect the shore and provide a home for wildlife. Project sponsored by BP Oil, because their reputation in the Gulf is stellar.
Oh, gosh.
New research indicates that as long as your total carb intake is low, it may not matter what kind of carbs you consume. So eat whatever you want, just make it low. NASA says that its data shows that to replace all the water California lost during the drought, you'd have to fill the Rose Bowl 130,000 times. That's a lot of water lost.
To a drought.
More states are considering banning powdered alcohol, which I've never heard of, but now I wonder, what is that? A humanoid robot traveled as a passenger aboard a commercial flight out of LA the other day. It'd be nice to sit next to someone who doesn't have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
Yeah, dude.
Until they introduce the robot baby. A shortage means that McDonald's in Japan is having to ration French fries. And that will be our super fast look at breaking news, because we got to move on to traffic and then birthdays.
Oh, yes. I think I would have prepared traffic ahead of time, but, you know.
Probably not.
Okay.
Nothing going on right now, but watch the roads, guys. They're kind of icy. They look like they're dry, but there's ice spots. We encountered a few this morning.
Yeah, we did. It was crazy.
Doug, did you notice walking in on the parking lot? It was like, whoa! Yeah. Anyway, that's your look at traffic. Because it's time for birthdays with Doug!
I almost slipped on the stairs.
No, Doug!
I did.
Yeah. Yep.
If I ever became a rapper, one of my names I wanted to go with was Black Ice.
That just... Okay. Perfect, Doug.
Good name. Also, I reached out to James Franco on Twitter and invited him to come debut the movie at my house.
Yeah!
Over the holiday break. So, James Franco, if you're listening, call me, buddy.
I'll miss you when you're bombed, Doug.
It's all right. These colors don't run.
That's right.
These colors do not run. Today, December 18, 2014, day 352. There are 13 days remaining, and for the first time in like 2 weeks, we have legitimate birthdays to get to.
This is dumb.
Legitimate.
Legitimate.
Enrique Iglesias.
No.
What?
Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
Dang it. Why did I go with Enrique? What's happening in my mind?
I don't know.
It's Christina Aguilera's birthday?
It is.
She is 33.
36.
She is 34 years old today. Do you think she looks back at Genie in a Bottle and goes, what was I doing?
No.
No.
I think...
Now she's like a legitimate artist.
I think she might look back on Dirty and wonder what she was
doing. Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I know when she put out that album and it was kind of a throwback, you know? And so, like, it was her singing, but all the music was kind of like mixed up 40s music or whatever.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That's when her voice to me sounded the best. It was the best mix. But that's just me. Mick Jagger.
Nope.
Richie Sambora.
What? No, stop it. Keith Richards.
Yes.
Yeah. Father of Johnny Depp. Keith Richards was born in 1843 and has lived because of cocaine.
Okay. Yeah,
he continues to exist.
He's probably died like 3 years ago. He's just preserved from all the chemicals.
His body's just still rocking.
Yeah.
It's all patterns and repetition now.
73.
81.
71 years old today.
He just looks at it like
he looks
in his 80s.
So old.
Yeah.
Wait. Jeff Goldblum.
Nope.
Sam Neill?
Think bigger than that.
Think bigger than that.
Chris Pratt.
Nope.
No.
Think Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Booyah.
Jaws, E.T.
See, he said that, so I thought Chris Pratt, because Jurassic World, bigger. Wow, it's Steven Spielberg's
birthday.
Bless
you. Bless you for playing this. Oh. You've made my day right now. I need to play this when I wake up in the morning. This needs to be my alarm music. If I'm laying in bed and then I hear this, I'll smile and I'll say, it's time to take this world on.
It's a really good idea. Why? I don't know why I don't use like more amazing, inspiring music when I wake up in the morning.
Oh, I'm doing that. I'm downloading this.
That's a really good idea.
And I'm going to set it as my alarm tone. Doug, I can't wait to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't wake up at 4:30. That's when the first alarm
goes
off.
That's mine too. And then by 5, I'm like, all right, I guess it's
time. Fine, it's been 30 minutes. Get off of me, beans.
Steven Spielberg is 60.
59.
68 years old.
Wow. That wasn't the last birthday today.
He was a young director in the 70s when he did Jaws. He's a kid.
Yeah, we should have done math on that.
Next up, an American actor best known for his portrayal of Henry Hill in the crime drama Goodfellas and as Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yes, dude. Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Nice.
That was all the money we had, Sharon.
Dude, Ray Liotta. Wow. That guy. Did you see Killing Me Softly?
Some of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, man. It's Brad Pitt. Ray Liotta just made me nervous in that. Because he played Ray Liotta. Like, he played a Ray Liotta character. Gosh. Ugh. Ray Liotta today. I think he's 58.
56.
He is 59 years old.
Good dang guess.
Dang it. I was right there.
Paula Cole.
Nope.
Wow.
James Vanderbeek.
Nope.
Joshua Jackson.
Nope.
Katie Holmes.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going, Joey, 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 Joey. I can't remember her name.
I've never seen a single episode.
It's the best.
And I got the Dawson's
Creek. It's a terrible show.
Yes. 36.
32. 36 is correct.
You know, I know that.
She's your age.
And I remember she was in this movie called... what was that terrible horror movie she was in?
Batman Begins.
No, no.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
No, it was like called Disturbing People or...
Disturbia?
No, that was
Shia LaBeouf.
And like the... never mind. Anyways, I just remember.
Was it the teacher movie?
Yeah. Was the faculty.
The faculty.
That was a different
she
movie.
Was in that, though, right? Was she in that?
Tim Skipper was in that.
All right, and that also not the last birthday today.
Stop.
I already mentioned him once this morning.
Wait.
Why can't I think of this?
Yeah. Is it Rivers Cuomo's birthday?
No.
You didn't mention Rivers Cuomo. No. So
this is the Pixies.
Right. This is the Pixies.
He first gained recognition as a cowboy hitchhiker in Thelma and Louise.
Oh, it's Brad Pitt's birthday!
Brad Pitt!
Oh my gosh, yes. It's Brad Pitt's birthday!
Yay!
Guys!
National holiday!
Guys, it's
National
Brad Pitt's holiday. Birthday!
Oh, yeah!
I don't care what anybody says, man. Love that actor.
Yeah?
I do, man. I even saw Killing Me Softly. Come on!
Is it because it looks like me? He looks like me?
Mostly, yes, mostly.
That's why.
Oh!
Dude, Brad Pitt.
I'm telling you.
51.
The Mexican, bro.
Oh, yeah.
With Julia Roberts, James Gandolfini.
I remember the cover. They're sitting there, and they're like, hey, I love you.
Ah! Okay.
Did you guys see that picture Wooly posted yesterday?
Yes.
From Fight Club?
Yes. I'm going to say he's 48.
51.
He is 51 years old today.
Nicely.
I know
done.
That because he looks like me. So we're connected. Right. We're connected.
And that also not the last birthday today.
Really?
This is good, Doug.
The final birthday today.
Wow, now I'm disappointed.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
Really? That bad? The glass broke.
Yes.
The glass broke.
And I mean,
anytime I hear glass
breaking.
Like,
yes! Yes! Ah! Stone Cold Steve Austin! Yeah.
What was his Bible verse?
Austin 316. Yeah.
Can you read it to me?
Nope.
Come on.
Oh, man. That wasn't even scripted. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That was ad-lib.
The Bible verse thing?
Yes. And it became the biggest thing in the universe because...
I remember.
Everything was scripted and... Who is he fighting? Was it Hulk Hogan?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, it was Jake the Snake. And yep. He was the Christian. And it was like, never mind. Yeah. And he just ad-libbed
Try
this
living
line.
In Mississippi at the peak of Stone Cold Steve Austin's
the
career.
The WWE attitude
that
movement.
That was the hero of the South. It was like, see that guy, man? He don't take no crap. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to shave my head and wear a Speedo and a leather vest, and everybody's going to think I'm the manliest dude ever. Just walking around half naked with a Speedo and a leather vest on. Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait. I don't know if everybody's going to think I'm the manliest guy.
Stonewall Jackson, nothing. More like Stone Cold Steve Austin if we had him instead of Stonewall.
Gosh, I wish I could go back and point that out to everybody. I just realized it.
Yeah.
Man, that's the manliest dude you ever seen. You see him up there in his leather Speedo and that leather jacket with those high leather boots on?
It was a leather vest, man. It wasn't even a jacket.
It's true.
Vest. The leather vest.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, no.
But it had a skull in it, bro.
It just shows the... Yeah, it's got a cool skull on it, man. That's how you know he's... He's a strong dude.
I'm going to say he's like... Dude, if Brad Pitt's 51... I'm going to say he's also 51.
52.
Stone Cold is 50 years old today.
Dang it!
The big 5-0. Congratulations, Mr. Cold.
He was my guy in the Attitude Era. My brother was the fan of The Rock, and we would always argue in the house who was
better.
That's
about when I quit.
Stone Cold or The Rock.
I quit watching, because when Stone Cold came out, that's what destroyed the WCW, because that's when everybody was like, that's the best wrestler, you know, where I live. Everybody's
see,
like,
and
no,
I
man.
Never, ever, ever watched WCW. Ever, ever,
WWE
ever.
Network get the Monday Night Wars.
The Monday Night Wars.
On two dates. On this day in what year, Houston police... warned residents that a con man had already sold $25,000 worth of water he claimed astronauts brought back from the moon. NASA assured police there was no such thing as moon water.
Okay, so I'm going to hope this was when we were... So I'm going to say 1970.
1972.
1995.
Wow, guys.
Moon water.
Moon water, guys.
Oh, this is straight from the moon, I promise. Stone Cold said so.
Yes.
On this day in what year, Chris Farley was found dead in his Chicago apartment.
Oh, man.
Yo soy el niño. For those of you who don't habla español, el niño
is Spanish for the niño. Oh, gosh, dude.
Brilliant.
On this day in 1997.
1996.
1997 is correct.
Yay! I know. I can tell you exactly where I was.
Where were you?
Well, I...
I don't want to know.
Not sad. Like, something like that. It's like 9/11, all these big things. Like, I could tell you where I was when I found out Chris Farley died.
The number one song for today.
What?
Fitting.
Fitting.
Yes, dude. Every rose has its thorns.
I know. I heard the breath at the beginning. He breathed heavily.
Yes, dude. Oh. Gonna sleep in the dead of the night. I know we look like close together. We feel miles apart inside.
Sad.
Was it something I said?
Yes.
Something I did.
Both.
Did my words come out right?
That too.
Not. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. I'm not singing any more of this. See, guys, when I was in elementary school, I was gifted a tape. A tape. It was a cassette. It was called Look What the Cat Dragged In. It had these four girls on the cover. And I'm like, why are you giving me a CD with, or a tape with four girls on the cover? And my friend was like, these are dudes. And I was like, oh. They're called Poison. And they're manly dudes with mascara and makeup, guys. I'm telling you. Teased hair.
Woo!
CeCe DeVille, everyone.
Woo!
Okay, now I have to remember. This was the second record, though. I don't think this was on Look What the Cat Dragged In.
No, this is the album with them all looking like girls on the front.
So then it was Look What the Cat Dragged In. That would be perfect.
Yep.
Yep.
That would be perfect. Okay, sorry. And it's like the four squares?
No, this is just them looking like
okay, so
chick.
this is the second record.
Oh, 1987.
1989.
1988.
Ah, dang it!
That's crazy.
Today is Answer the Telephone like Buddy the Elf. Guess what I'll be doing all morning long.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
National Regifting Day. Turn your workplace gift exchange into a regifting party. It is Baked Cookies Day. It's I Love Honey Day. It's 5 days till Festivus.
Yeah, Doug!
Wow.
I'm glad Guys. They have a holiday for you, Doug.
Yep. Yeah.
Airing of the grievances will be long this year.
Oh, man.
Long this year, huh?
We've got a great show today. I'm excited. We got a Schroff coming in studio representing Aspen Project and Project Zoe. That's in the 8 o'clock hour.
We have the final Theology Thursday of the year.
Yeah.
Just of the year. It'll be back.
It
Which means
won't.
We've been doing this for a year because we started in January.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We should have had like an anniversary party or something.
We should have. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe order some.
There's still time. Doug, order everything
right.
That's necessary.
Maybe
for
order
good
some
parties.
Sandwiches. Maybe a deli tray.
Okay.
It'll be good.
We'll just have a party in here.
Just have our own. But it'll be classy. It'll
Dude.
Be theological.
Yes.
We'll label all the stuff. It'll be like the ranch will be called predestination sauce. the carrots will be called Arminianistic sticks.
Wow.
Arminia sticks. I'll come up with it. I got it. I got this, guys. Don't worry. Just give me 5 minutes.
We're going to have some old earth fruit cake.
Yeah,
and
really
some new
old.
Earth pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Fruit cake's been around for millions of years.
And it's still changing.
Pumpkin pie, it's new.
The fruit cake is evolving.
Yes.
Obviously, if you look at it, it's moving.
Oh,
what
man,
is that?
I'm excited for
That's
Theology
moving.
Thursday today. All four of us. Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon will be here. It's going to be a good show. We're really excited. Stay close. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Golly, Bob, howdy, it's Thursday. Let's take a look at traffic. So we have an accident. The right lane is blocked. I-40 East at 2nd Street. That's exit 159A. So again, accident, right lane is blocked. I-40 East at 2nd Street, exit 159A. Also, we have a road closed. The right lane is closed due to construction. Paseo del Norte West at San Pedro. And we have road construction. The roadway reduced to 2 lanes. Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic.
Right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Welcome.
Yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party hanging out with you. This is crazy, man. If you're just joining us, we were referencing it during breaking news. It kind of took over breaking news.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
For those unfamiliar, Sony Pictures was preparing to release a film on Christmas Day called The Interview.
Yeah.
Starring Seth Rogen, James Franco. The film was kind of taking the idea of assassinating
Kim
Jong-un.
Yeah.
The leader of North Korea. So, of course, there was some flack. There's been flack about it for a while.
Yeah, the teaser trailer premiered in June. Mm-hmm. And ever since that came out, North Korea's been going, oh, we gonna get y'all. We gonna get y'all.
Yeah. Nobody believed, nobody listened. And now, all of a sudden, Sony decided yesterday, not only was it going to be in limited release, now it's completely pulled.
Mm.
They've decided to completely pull the film after, United Artists? Are they still around?
No.
Cinemark and Regal.
It was Regal, Cinemark, Carmike, Cineplex, which is based in Canada, but it also has things here, and there was one more. And those are the five major, and AMC's Regal. Whatever, the five major theater chains were like, nope, not showing it.
Right.
They were actually going to delay their premiere because it was supposed to premiere on Christmas Day.
Everybody's chiming in on it, whether or not it should be released. Yeah. Joss Whedon just quoted tweeted and said, Seth Rogen and company made This Is the End a startlingly deft and thoughtful gem, which is interesting. As, yes, I'm saying it, artists, they deserve to be heard. A lot of directors, actors are jumping in and saying, hey, get in on this.
Get in on
this. Do this. Release it.
Get in on the mix.
But Sony has decided to completely pull the film. I don't know. Man, I don't know how I feel. 505-338-3700. We're gonna talk about it a little bit this morning because it's kind of all over.
Because why not?
Yeah. Hello.
And why not?
And why not?
And why so?
And shortly thereof,
I am me.
What is up, dude?
Hey, what Shane? Up, Hurricane Shane?
Dude, yeah, dude, this is really interesting, man.
You're an actor. You're in the
biz.
I
am an actor. Hey, dude, you know who I hung out with last night?
Whom?
Dickie Beer. Do you know who that is?
Wait. Are you talking like the
from
lead?
Star Wars.
Oh,
Bobo.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, cool.
Dickie Beer is totally cool. I was like, dude?
Mighty Boston's. Wow, that's crazy. Boba Fett.
That's him, dude. Yeah, you got it. Hey, listen, I think it's kind of an interesting quandary there. Because here's the thing. If they did release it, and then we had some sort of attack like we saw in Colorado,
yeah,
but then immediately those people would be scrutinized and criticized to such a degree, and there'd be such sorrow surrounding that, and they'd say, you know, the loss of life stacked up against obviously, you know, entertainment, dude,
yeah,
that's a no-brainer. This was a huge mistake, and people would be taken to task for that decision,
right?
And I think that's the harsh reality of the content that you're talking about, what we're looking at. On the other hand, at some point, and this is why it is such a meaty topic that you guys chose this morning, because at some point you have to say, well, this country was founded on standing up against tyranny, oppressive, regimes, governments, imperialistic ideals. So for me, I think they should have released it. Because I think this is America, the land of the free, and Kim Jong-un doesn't have the right to dictate what we do or don't do in this country on this soil.
Yes.
Well,
all right. So, that's where I'm at with the boys. Hey,
there
listen, man, I love you, dude.
Love
man.
You, too,
love
Shane.
You,
it's
Shane.
Been, it's
guys,
been a minute.
So, you too. Hurricane Shane.
Hurricane Shane.
Haven't
is
heard
a
from
friend.
Him forever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, talking about the interview, if you haven't heard somehow.
Yes. Somehow.
Somehow. It's been big news.
It's all over everything.
Yeah. Originally, the premiere in New York was shelved because the theater said, hey, we got to protect our patrons. And then major theater chains were saying, we shouldn't carry this film because there were crazy death threats. And so finally, Sony just said, you know what? We're shelving this movie indefinitely. There's no plans to digitally release it. Directed video, if you will. Like, none of that is happening. They're just kind of shelving this movie out of fear of these hackers who have basically, they brought up 9/11. They said there would be repercussions to those who took part, who watched it. And I, for one, I know there are those who are like, I'm going to go see this movie when it comes out. Let's say Sony didn't pull it. There's no way I was going to see it. I know I'm on one end of the spectrum because everybody's got their opinion. I know I wouldn't have because we're talking about hackers who are able to get into personal emails and do these crazy things online. You think they can't get your information off Fandango or whatever, wherever you're buying your tickets?
Maybe.
It could be that level.
Could be. Or, oh, man, Fandango could have bumped up security so much that, you know,
yeah,
that's not even possible. But who knows?
But we're talking about Sony. I feel like they'd have to have decent cyber security, if you will. Like, these people have hacked into their personal email accounts and was able to take all of these really private conversations public. Really anger a lot of Marvel fans.
Well, granted, Sony probably was not expecting a cyber attack.
That's true.
And so now I'm sure every other major studio and probably every other entity has boned up on some security.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I can't imagine these people ever being able to get into Disney. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even before this, I'm sure that there's no way.
Yeah.
Disney keeps things on lockdown so hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't even go to areas of the park.
People have been passionate about this. We've gotten comments on both sides, whether it's, they should have released the interview. Sony should have just, you know, let it happen amid these threats.
Mm-hmm.
And others saying, no, this was smart for security reasons. But we're talking about a stupid Seth Rogen, James Franco movie.
I know. It's funny.
And on the grander scale now, BBC, CNN, Fox News, all these people are talking about the repercussions because allegedly the feds are involved. Our U.S. government's going to make a statement today because if this was a cyber attack from another country, we could be looking at some craziness over a Seth Rogen film! 505-338-3700. Static!
I have the answer, gentlemen.
Oh, hey!
I have the answer. Are you ready for it?
Does it have anything to do with the fact that today is Stone Cold Steve Austin's birthday and
of
we just sent that dude directly to North Korea to negotiate?
Are you ready? No, Stone Cold wouldn't negotiate. No way. Come on. What would Stone Cold Steve Austin do? Here's the answer. Are you ready for it? Of course you are. Drum roll. All right. Stone Cold would just bypass the theaters altogether and release it directly to Netflix, to Redbox, all across, so people can have it in their hands if they wanted it.
Yeah.
Put it on the internet for like $2 download. You know, that way, the actors and the privatized company that invested in the money to get it, they get that money back directly from the people, and all that system is already set up. You don't have to go. Terrorists aren't going to individually hack every single American. They don't have that much time. They're looking for food. They're hungry. North Korea, come on now.
Well, I mean, we thought North Korea didn't have the capability to do anything.
And
they've hacked a major motion picture. Whatever.
Right. But they can't spread that across the entire... So they got one major motion picture.
No,
super.
They're
going to get every single American.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think it's... I think it's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say, you know what? Let's protect our freedom to speak or make movies about, you know, jungle gyms or whatever we want to do.
And let's release jungle gyms. So much.
Amazing. Love you, Wally.
Release it to the people, right? Come on, because that's what Stone Cold Steve Austin would do.
The people.
No, see, here's what you do with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You prepare another film. It's called The Expendables 4. And you get Sylvester Stallone, you get Arnold Schwarzenegger, you get Stone Cold Steve Austin, you get all of the heroes from childhood. They band together to take out terrorism. And the terrorism is these crazy cyber attacks from North Korea. And the government finds out that it is North Korea. And instead of doing something with our U.S. government, they get all of the super amazing superstars from all of these crazy old classic films to go over and just blow everything up.
We bring back John Wayne. We throw in like some new classics. Like Tony Bennett comes in and sings a song. Like, it's just dirty.
There you go.
It's good.
Expendables 4.
Right. But these are old men who know how to blow things up and don't know anything about cyber attacks. So, like, in some of the movie, they hand them a phone to, like, work Instagram, and they're like, ah, screw it, and, like, throw it over their shoulder, and the phone blows up. So their entire, like, strategy is, let's just go blow up computers.
Right.
Not even kill people or attack anybody. There's absolutely no loss of life.
It's just
they
computers.
They just blow up computers and hit it with, like, baseball bats.
Willie, you have amazing ideas every single day.
I love it.
I love you guys. Thank you for doing all that you do. You're amazing. Stone Cold said so. That's why.
I love you.
I'll talk to you later.
I love you too, bro. Willie. We got an email that was...
We did.
It was... just as passionate, I would say.
Passionate!
And though I'm playing the Rocky theme and being funny, this email was very serious.
All right. This is a low point for the United States. A major company in the U.S. has been hacked by a foreign government, and we have no response. What is going on here? When are we going to stand up and be America again? This is absolutely unacceptable and has further reduced our standing in the world. If POTUS had any cojones, he would have invited Seth Rogen and James Franco to the White House for a private screening of the movie and would have encouraged Sony to release the movie as scheduled. Come on, man. What happened to the good old USA?
Wow.
Thank you for our email.
Yeah. That was a real... And it was a little salty, and you cleaned it up. That was good.
I cleaned it up. I swept it up with my broom of peace.
Nicely done. Thanks for the email. Static.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
How you doing today?
Mm.
Yeah, I gotcha.
What about you? It's the day before Friday, so I'm hanging in.
We have like week.
There you go.
It's that week. Thursday is the day where you get kind of senioritis, where you're about to graduate to the weekend. And you're like,
there you go. Hey, I got an interesting outlook on this thing. What if, because they are getting tons of publicity here.
Right.
What if this is Sony going, you know what, this thing is really being effective. If we want to make some money, let's pull this, make it a giant international thing, so when we do release this,
oh my gosh,
everybody's going to want to hit it.
That's a great thought.
Yeah.
Because that's fantastic marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everybody wants to see
it. Because everybody's forgetting that it's a Seth Rogen movie!
It's true. and everybody goes, but I mean, James Franco's in it, so it might be good.
Ugh.
That's the thing about James Franco. He's in these stupid movies, but then he also does, like, incredible movies every once in a while. Like that movie about
27 Hours or whatever it was.
Yeah. And everybody's like, whoa.
Right.
You know, and he's been in a few of those movies where it's like...
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Which I love so much.
That's a really interesting perspective. That's true.
And I think you could be onto something, honestly. And
I think what Sony should do is say that they're going to release it in North Korea.
Oh, man.
See, if that wasn't the original intention, then... Somebody in their marketing department needs to have your idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, I doubt that that was the original intention, just because of the level of depth, you know, and the privacy stuff that has just come out. Because obviously they wouldn't just put that stuff out there. I mean, you had like insults to the president and kind of racist comments from the executives and stuff, and so obviously. I don't think they did all of this on purpose, but you're right. They could totally twist this into now everybody's going to see this movie because everybody wants to know what the big deal was.
Man.
Yeah. Or they could end up doing like South Park and just, you know, putting somebody else inside of Kim Jong-un, you know?
Good grief. Oh, thank you so much for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Later. All right. Speaking of South Park, the creators of South Park made this movie called Team America.
Team America World Police.
And Texas is like, hey, man, you ain't slowing us down. So
we got you, man.
The Alamo, it's the Alamo Draft House, right? Is that what it's called? They are going to be, instead of showing the interview, they're going to be showing a film called Team America, which is pretty gnarly. And it's about his dad, Kim Jong-il. And man, that's an interesting move, because you know that's gotten like crazy
movie,
international headlines now.
That movie was offensive.
It's very offensive. They're handing out
hilarious
American flags.
But offensive.
And Trey Parker, Matt Stone, creators of this film. It's, yes, highly offensive marionette puppets who...
it says a note on the website of the Alamo Draft House, the movie theater in Dallas, Texas, says that is how true American heroes will be celebrating this year. But if you want to let the terrorists win, well, that's your prerogative.
Wow.
Boom!
Yeah, so they will be showing Team America in place of the interview because Sony has scrapped the interview altogether. I want to know your thoughts. 505-338-3700, the phone number. I follow Colin Hanks on Twitter, and he was ranting last night, pretty bummed that terrorists were winning over the expression of freedom of expression, and as artists, they should have the right to release such things.
Doug got me a list. Well, he got me a bunch of celebrity tweets, so let's check it out. And I'll probably have to clean some of these up.
Right.
Rob Lowe, who makes an appearance in the interview.
Oh, that's right.
Now I want to see it even more. Yeah. He says, wow, everyone caved. The hackers won. An utter and complete victory for them. Wow. And he says, saw Seth Rogen at JFK. Both of us have never seen or heard of anything like this. Hollywood has done Neville Chamberlain proud today. Who is Neville Chamberlain? Hang on. Hang on. Google search. Google. I can't. My keyboard is covered in papers. You search it.
I got you.
Neville Chamberlain. Or if you know who he is, just give us a call. Michael Moore, this was the one I thought was really funny. And I don't like Michael Moore.
Yeah.
I think he's a hack. Yeah. But what do I know? I don't know him.
Huh? Huh?
He said, dear Sony hackers, now that you run Hollywood, I'd also like less romantic comedies, fewer Michael Bay movies, and no more Transformers.
Oh my God.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Neville Chamberlain, Arthur Neville Chamberlain.
What did he want?
He was a former British prime minister.
Did he hate movies or something?
God, she's got a lot of accolades. So, after working in business and local government and a short spell as the director of national services in 1916 and 17, he followed his father and older half-brother in becoming a member of parliament. Blah, 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 so boring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doug knows what it is. Doug up. He's got it.
Doug, you know. What's up, Dougie Fresh?
Neville Chamberlain was in charge of England, and then they went to the big, what was supposed to be the peace conference with Hitler, and Hitler signed the paper saying, oh, hey, we're going to not invade anyone else. He came back home waving the paper in the air, and then the next day they invaded Austria.
Ah! So he got duped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man.
Steve Carell says, sad day for creative expression, hashtag fear eats the soul.
Okay.
Patton Oswalt says, the interview is now poised to shatter the world record for spite viewings. Newt Gingrich says, no one should kid themselves. With the Sony collapse, America has lost its first cyber war. This is a very, very dangerous precedent. Mia Farrow says, dang, bad guys won, and retweeted the article about Sony totally canceling it. Neil Gaiman says, so Sony fights back by canceling the interview, thus proving to the hackers that hacking and threats work very well? That may prove an error. Kelly Oxford says, I am so mad the hackers won. This precedent is scary and disappointing on so many levels. Zach Braff says, there goes my Hitler comedy. And then he said, canceling the interview seems like a pretty horrible precedent to set.
Yeah.
Albert Brooks says, City of Atlanta demands all remaining prints of Gone with the Wind be destroyed. I'm glad some people are funny.
Newt Gingrich tweeted and said, no one should kid themselves. With the Sony collapse, America has lost its first cyber war. This is a very, very dangerous precedent. Rob Lowe retweeted and said, it wasn't the hackers who won, it was the terrorists, and almost certainly the North Korean dictatorship. This is an act of war.
Mm.
Yeah, Rob Lowe, man.
Dude, Rob Lowe is upset.
He is very upset, and he kept referencing Neville Chamberlain. And, he famously conceded Czechoslovakia to the Nazis in 1938. Said if Sony ran World War II, Hitler would have won.
Dang.
Yeah. I have an idea for how we can solve this. I'm actually surprised more people aren't calling in. You guys, get on your phones and call in unless you're driving, because that's illegal. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But pull over and call us.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
Wait, let me see. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a traffic jam.
It's been stated that North Korea was responsible for the cyber attack, but the U.S. government has not officially come out blatantly and stated, hey, they're investigating. We know that the FBI is involved and that our government is tracking, and they're supposed to release a statement today on this, but in the meantime, Sony's pulled this new Seth Rogen comedy, if you will.
I've got the perfect plan.
Okay.
But I want to hear from some more people before I lay it out there, because it could be a really dumb idea.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Phone lines are jamming up. Static!
Hello!
Hey. Hello!
What's up?
Nothing.
Chilling.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, I think we're cowards.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's why they have a rating system on movies. You know, if you want to, they need to do a new rating system for movies like this.
Man, see, what's it's hard because
rated O for offensive.
Yeah. I hear that, because Sony definitely caved, but at the same time, we keep talking about it, and these cyber bullies, or let's call them cyber terrorists, if you will.
Yeah. I would say that, because
they brought up 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah, there were threats. Like, the New York premiere of the movie got canceled last week. I guess the L.A. premiere went off without a hitch.
They referenced 9/11.
The problem is that this is North Korea. And historically, even dating back to Kim Jong-un's dad, Kim Jong-il.
That's why it's such a big deal, and that's why we should have stood up more.
Yeah, man. Well, and that's the thing. They've always just thrown out empty threats. For decades, empty threats.
And you know what? And one of these days, they might actually do something, but it's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, something like this, a movie, guys? Come on.
that's why I'm on the fence. See, that's the thing. Wait, but it's just a movie.
Is that worth people dying over? It's just a movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
People are dying every day for stupider reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you jump in and say, I'll die for a stupid reason too.
Yeah.
No, who said Rob of Fear eats at us? You know, fear is. Well, I mean.
Did we lose him?
Oh,
he hung up.
Okay. I lost my headphones.
He lost his headphones.
Sorry, guys.
I agree. This whole situation just sucks.
Well, yeah, and what?
I think you can call it cyber terrorism too, because the level of privacy that has been invaded is crazy.
It's insane.
You got people's like personal emails and addresses and just floating around out there.
And what sucks is that's why I'm kind of on the fence.
Yeah,
I don't care enough about Seth Rogen or James Franco to care if they release the movie. Especially when they're starting to throw out these terrorist threats of, hey, you remember what happened on September 11, 2001? Yeah, there will be repercussions for those who see this film. Sony was smart to pull it, but on the flip side, I'm hearing what everybody else is saying, like, America, man! America!
Yeah.
We gotta stand up for what's right!
And you do, because
Seth Rogen!
Because, like, in the schoolyard, you know, when you're a kid, the bully doesn't leave you alone until you stand up.
Yeah.
It's true.
Man, phone lines are jammed up again. Static!
What's up, boys?
What up?
Hey, if there's one thing you don't do, you don't piss off Skinny Arms Rob Lowe.
That's true. We've seen him in the commercials. We've seen him.
Skinny Arms Rob Lowe can't even open a jar of mayonnaise. How is he supposed to do anything?
Well, can you do that if you get Super Hairy Rob Lowe to fight him?
Maybe. Maybe.
Or what about Super Creepy Rob Lowe?
Those commercials are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Now, I would fight for those commercials because they're hilarious.
This is Dave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
What do you think, man? Hey, how was that Michael Bublé Christmas special? I saw your picture just sitting there like a kid, just watching
it. It was so good. It was magical. It really was.
See, you would fight North Korea over the Michael Bublé Christmas special. What if they say you couldn't?
If they would have pulled Michael Bublé show, if they would have hacked that, oh, man.
It's coming,
I'd
man.
I'd be over there in a heartbeat.
America just caved on one movie. When are they going to cave over everybody else who's saying, you can't celebrate Christmas? Not all of it.
Yeah.
We're not a Christian nation anymore. And then all of a sudden, guys, we lose our freedoms.
Seriously. Gosh, can we talk about Michael Bublé for the next hour?
Yeah.
No!
Isn't he Canadian? It doesn't even matter. They're like, ah, just give him back to Canada.
Hey, hold on real quick.
No, I'm not.
What is
gosh.
This?
Hey, can I get a
Dave, we can't. You know what? Don't let the terrorists win. I can't let them win. I hung up on him, guys.
That's right.
I just hung up on my friend because friends don't do that to each other. You don't know.
Maybe because we're non-com, we can't air him ordering something.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hola.
So there's two issues with this. Obviously, America wins because it's one less crappy movie that we have to be, like, assaulted with.
Okay.
But then it's, you know, we lose because we're cowards.
So we're cowards, but at least we're sparing us from seeing a really terrible win-lose situation.
Yeah.
I had a friend post on Facebook last night that our country is run by the mom with the 8-year-old terrorist at the mall trying to reason with them.
Oh, man.
I think that just about summed it up.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. But
I have a question for you, Steve-O.
Yes?
Are you no longer a Buccaneers fan?
No, I love the Bucks.
No, he defected. He's Cowboys all the way.
I did not.
He bought a hat.
I bought a hat. I grew up a Cowboys fan. It's okay that I root for them as well.
So when did you defect on the Cowboys?
Oh, shut up! 1997.
1997. It was a good year.
Do you want to place a wager on this week's game? Because you know who you play, right?
Yes, of course I know. No, I'm not wagering.
Wait, is it Bucks versus Packers?
Yes. Green Bay, back in the day when it was Warren Sapp versus Brett Favre, I would have totally been like, yes, I am game. But right now, we're 2-12, and hey, you guys lost to a terrible team. So there's no way Green Bay is going to lose to Tampa Bay. There's no way. Hmm.
You're not going to stick by your team?
No, dude, because I am practical, and I understand we're terrible this year. Gerald McCoy just went down. He's out for the season. We have no line. We have no chance, and Green Bay lost to the Bills!
You do realize the Bills have the number one pass defense.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Well, you know what? Jay Cutler may be available next year.
Truth. That'd be another big mistake for Lovie Smith, so let's just tack that on. So that's seriously the first thing that ran through my head when Chicago benched him.
Well, I guess continue the trend of cowardism.
Oh, man.
Cowardism.
Oh, TJ. I hope Green Bay just gets dismantled. I really do. I just am smarter than that, so I can't talk trash, because I know what's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Your team sucks.
Thank you guys for letting me be a part of this.
Love you, TJ.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, Green Bay's playing Tampa.
Barbara says perhaps Sony should dump the showings at theaters and put it on network TV for all to see. If they cave to terrorists, it'll just get worse. On that same note, do you carry any cash anywhere? You can get to it in case banks were hacked.
Oh, right.
I don't think banks were hacked.
No, but that's what she's saying. Like, hey, that was easy for them to basically take down Sony. How much cash do we have lying around? Static!
For a second there, I thought I called a sports radio station.
That's funny. No.
Welcome to my life.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to say that I think our president missed a perfect opportunity to have the world stage and show the massive difference between freedom in America and the oppression in North Korea.
Yeah.
He could have so easily said, look, this is what's the difference between us. We're allowing our people to not only be creative and outspoken, but at the same time to say, you know, I'm not threatened by it. They can go ahead and criticize me, and I'm still a ruler. I'm still in charge, and I let my people do their thing.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick?
Sure.
Did you have somebody amen you in the background?
No.
Man, when you were talking, I promise I heard somebody go, amen.
Maybe it was your inner child. Your inner southern
Maybe
dude.
Somewhere
like,
inside of me, like hallelujah. American Mateo, stood up and said, amen. My bad. Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
But here's the thing.
That's it. Technically,
America has not responded yet. Sony, being a private corporation, chose to do this on their own. Apart from our government. So technically,
yeah.
President Obama still has an opportunity to say something because according to reports from the BBC, Fox News, CNN, our government will make a statement today. So,
I hope so. And you know what? He can even put it out there as a, not a dare, but to say if North Korea does do something in retaliation, Gosh, I'd hate for a movie to be the cause of World War III.
Seth Rogen!
See, that's what I'm saying. Gosh! It's not even a good movie. If we were talking Star Wars The Force Awakens, then I think everybody would be on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, we're talking about The Interview.
You will not inhibit me from seeing Episode 7. I don't care about The Interview. So, yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. See ya.
Dude, you know, the perfect Jurassic World. We'd already be on a plane.
Man, I wouldn't have come into work today. I wouldn't have come into work. I would have texted you this morning and said, "Hey, man, I'm not going to make it.
I'm not going to make it in.
Feeling really sad.
I might not make it in ever.
I'm going to be praying all day.
I just joined the military. I'm being deployed tomorrow.
I'm out. I'm on a boat right now.
We're headed.
I'm on a boat.
We're headed.
So here's my idea. You ready for this? Hey, America, listen to this idea. Okay, they got Sony. They hacked Sony. I'm willing to admit that. That's totally cool. And we pulled the movie from release. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we pulled it from release is because we've got our crack team of hackers, and we're going to hack the entire North Korean internet, all of it. And then, when anybody in North Korea, anyone, when Kim Jong-un himself tries to log on the internet, the only page that pops up is The Interview, and it just starts streaming. That's what I'm saying. And then we walk out going, "Yeah, did you guys like the movie? It starts January 15th in America!" That's what I'm saying. Why don't we do that? Let's hack their internet and take it down.
And then Lee Greenwood shows up, right?
Boom!
And it begins, man. That's what happens. This music video, coupled with The Interview, double feature.
Constantly streaming. Literally nothing else. Nothing else. Why don't we do that? Man, we can do that. We're America.
Phone lines are jammed.
We
for
can
this
do
conversation.
That.
Going out to line two. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Deep voice guy.
Where have you been?
Hey. How's it going?
It's going, man. How you feeling about all this activity going on in America?
You know what? North Korea ain't got nothing on us because we got our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, technically, there are North Koreans who probably
They could have him, too.
Yes.
They could, but they don't acknowledge that.
Okay.
But I'm just calling to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Keep up the good work.
You too, Deep Voice
Thanks,
Guy.
Sir. Have a good holiday season.
Deep Voice Guy. What we do is we get Deep Voice Guy to create a trailer for the new and improved The Interview. I guess not only did it begin with Sony telling Seth Rogen, like, "Man, you got to tone down this death scene," because the assassination happens in the film,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to get him not to do it altogether. Said, "Is there a way that he can?" And it's, no, this is what the movie's about,
right?
And so they had to really tone it down. And then now it's not even being released. If you're just joining us, Seth Rogen, James Franco created a film called The Interview, where these two idiots basically go over to North Korea to interview Kim Jong-un in what is an assassination plot.
And the CIA, FBI, whatever,
Everybody
they
involved.
Recruit them
to take this dude out. And all of a sudden there were cyber attacks, and we've seen all of these emails floating around from executives at Sony. And yesterday Sony decided to pull the plug on The Interview altogether amid death threats, the cyber bullies, cyber terrorists.
This is America.
Reference 9/11.
We invented the internet. We invented hot dogs. We invented water. We invented electricity.
What?
I don't understand why we're not hacking their internet and just clogging it up with The Interview.
505-338-3700.
It would be called the Interview
number.
Net. And that's what it would say at the top. They would try to type in Google. The Interview Net. And it would just stream the movie right there to every computer. And there's four computers in North Korea. Four! This can't be that hard.
You can only log in at the library. Everybody has 7 minutes.
That's where they did this. The one North Korean public library. They had their crack team surrounded. Somebody would go, "Shh, what is he looking at? Why are you looking at that in the library? What?" And then they hack our system, and this happens.
I'm just saying. 505-338-3700, the phone number. If you can't get in because the phone lines have been jammed this whole hour. We're also taking your comments on Facebook. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Static!
Hey, guys. Kimberly Fondue hacked me earlier.
What does that mean?
Well, because we lost connection.
Who is Kimberly Fondue?
Kimberly Fondue is...
Well, yeah. Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is.
No.
Oh, my God!
That went horribly wrong. Anyway, go ahead.
Nah, I know. Come on, guys. Anyway, anytime the U.S. is involved or FBI gets involved, it's always a conspiracy. What's going to happen is they're going to start releasing this movie only on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and 4th of July.
Boom! It's going to be like back-to-back on TNT with Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Love you, bud. It's like, you know, every like holiday like that on TBS TNT, it's Saving Private Ryan. Pearl Harbor. Now the interview is going to be including that. It's, you know, this movie probably just sucks, and so Sony's like, nah, man, we're just going to pull it because amidst all this, when really we screened the film and it's just not that funny. It's Seth Rogen and James Franco, guys.
Let's take line two and then we'll take a break.
Okay, Static.
Yeah, what's going on, dude? How you guys doing?
Hey, good. What up?
I wanted to just chime in, dude, to just say, like, I guess it's kind of just retarded to pull the movie. I mean, whether it sucks or not, it's like, come on, man, it's just a movie. They do the same with Bin Laden when they try to lighten the situation. I think it's just, it'll lighten the situation to where it won't make fanatics think like something globally terrorism's happening. And I mean, it's like, I don't know, it kind of makes us feel a little, like, look intimidated almost, because it's right. Like, oh, we better, it's okay for them to hack, dude, like, into a Sony, but it's not okay to release a movie making a joke about them.
Right.
So, like, I don't know, dude. I think it's just people have got to tone it down, dude, and just enjoy life, dude. I don't know.
We just need to tell the North Koreans to tone it down and
guys,
enjoy life.
Guys, just dial it back a little bit, North Korea.
Gosh.
Yeah, you guys have a great
you
week.
Too, man.
Dude, what just...
We can't... Hey, man, listen, bro. Check it, man.
I feel like we were in English class, and we just got issued a pop quiz. And it's like, no, man, this isn't fair. You know these questions are going to suck. And the guy that sits over in the corner that nobody even knows about just said, guys, chill out.
Hey, man, it's the dudes, the two dudes in the back that are the best friends.
Hey.
And you're like, hey, man, listen, bro.
Listen.
Just mellow out, bro. We just got to, like, chill, right? Because it's multiple choice, man.
Yeah.
It's like life. You know, you're going to get A, B, C, or D, man. It doesn't matter what you choose, right? Wait, what?
We can't put that on North Korea because that's an oppressive dictatorship.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Hey, man, you guys.
Which is, that leads
can
to the point,
imagine?
Though.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
You know, because we just totally showed them that they can push us around.
Bully us with their dictatorship.
And that's...
Well, here's the thing, though. We keep putting it on America like America caved. It was a private corporation in America. Sony did this.
Sony.
The U.S. government didn't issue a statement and say,
you know what?
Listen, Sony, you need to pull this because of world relations with North Korea. It wasn't political. It was Sony making a decision as a business to pull this.
That's true.
For the safety of, like, patrons frequenting movie theaters.
And you know what the answer is?
It's not Obama's fault, guys. You can't blame him for this one yet.
The answer
yet
is give Spider-Man back to Marvel.
That's the answer!
That's the answer!
Oh, man.
If we could do that, this would all be worth it.
One final phone call, then we gotta take a quick break. Static.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, okay, so we got two things on this one.
Woo! All right.
Number one, I think that Seth Rogen and the other guys should go to North Korea and apologize.
Oof. You really want to ship Seth Rogen and James Franco to North Korea?
Yeah, look, we got to just follow the plot. We just got to follow the plot all the way through.
I'm guessing that oh, you're saying...
Oh, my God.
Oh!
And then it becomes a documentary, you know what I'm saying?
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, see, you know what I'm talking about. That's it. That's all we got to do.
Because they wouldn't see that coming.
Can you imagine?
Gosh. Oh, we've obviously all seen too many movies.
Way too many movies. We've obviously seen this movie somehow.
Incredible. Okay.
What's the other thing? You said you had 2 points. Was that the only one?
That one's probably the best. Let's just leave it
there
at that.
Okay, right? Good. Leave go out on top.
There you go.
Thanks, Colin.
Yep. I know, man. Thank you so much. Oh, man.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, we got to take a quick break. Coming back, you know, we're going to talk more about this. I do know. It is Thursday, so coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, right around the corner, we got our friends from Aspen Project and Project Zoe making their way into the studio to hang out with us. Stay close. There's comments. We got a lot to get to for this topic, so coming back, definitely more of that on Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
pressed the wrong thing. Hang on.
I believe in you.
Stand by.
And your traffic updates, girl. You can do it right now. You
Good
can do
grief.
It all the time.
Okay, there's an accident
with Mateo.
I-40 East at 2nd Street. There's an accident reported Candelaria Road East between, is it Vassar or Vassar?
Vassar.
That's
Vassar
not even like a Spanish name. Like, why? I don't know. How's it spelled?
V-A-S-S-A-R.
Vassar?
Is it Vassar?
It's Vassar.
Okay. And Carlisle Boulevard. There's an accident off to the side, I-40 West at Louisiana. There's an accident at Wantabo Boulevard North between Manon Boulevard and Candelaria Road. There must be a lot of ice on Candelaria. Lots of it, Michelle Schroff.
There is.
There is. Also, there's a right lane closed construction Paseo del Norte West at San Pedro, and there's road construction down at Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic right now. Be careful.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's
505-338-3669.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party, Steve-O Mateo.
Hey.
And special guest in studio, Michelle Schroff.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Oh, man, sorry, you played Michael Jackson.
Yep.
You get Janet Jackson.
Janet's cool.
Janet is
everywhere.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Miss Janet, she's kind of disappeared. Where is she?
I know, right? I don't
know. Jeez.
She grew up, maybe.
She did.
Had kids and...
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
Well, she's disappeared since that whole wardrobe malfunction, right? Mm. Haven't really heard much from her since.
Yeah, you really haven't, huh?
You haven't.
It was the terrorists. They won out.
They won out.
It was the FCC. They said, you can't do that at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
We're definitely going to switch gears. We have so many comments. We'll get to the comments about the interview, but we thought we'd pause for a second.
Thank you.
Talk about something that's actually important.
Thank you.
Not to belittle it, because I know it's a big deal right now in America and North Korea. And
it's just not important to Michelle Schroff.
No, it's not. Sorry. I think it's a marketing ploy.
It's because,
listen, y'all, she believes that children are our future.
Yeah, and she's going to tell us all about it right now. Go.
That's right. Hey.
Let them lead the way.
Did you guys see that huge gift in the foyer?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Incredible, right?
It's like half full.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
So everyone needs to go.
I think it's really cool that you guys teamed up with Calvary Albuquerque.
I know. Isn't that awesome? Happening.
I had to go to the offices yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I got in trouble. And I saw some people. Yes. I saw some people putting some stuff into the thing. And I thought, man, that's really cool. It was like a whole family.
Did you have to climb a ladder to the top and open the lid? And
I know, huh? No.
Oh. I love that present, man. It's cool.
I know, isn't it?
It's really great.
It's awesome.
I love it.
Clear up for our listeners. Maybe nobody knows what we're talking about.
Right now, Calvary Albuquerque is doing a gift donation for children that are at risk and in need here in Albuquerque. So we've got a ton of gifts in there, and we're going to be distributing those next week. We're going to be giving them out to kids that are in CYFD custody, also homeless kiddos. And actually, on Christmas Day, we're going to take a run down Central and hit up the motels. And we got someone that offered to come and play some worship music and some Christmas music as
we
do it.
That's so cool.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
We're so excited.
I love it when people in the ABQ care enough about their city and the people in it. We have a really good friend named Mike, owner of Astro Zombies. He's got a nonprofit organization called Comics Cause. We're actually going to be broadcasting, hanging out with him on Monday. He collects sleeping bags personally.
That's so cool.
And then on Christmas Eve drives around, you know, Knob Hill and downtown area trying to find someone on the street in need. Last year they had 88 sleeping bags that he drove
That's
around
so
personally
cool.
to hand
My
out to people on
doing
the streets.
That this week.
I love that, man.
Yeah, she's doing that this week with a friend of hers. They decided to reach out to the homeless of Albuquerque also.
That's cool.
So Friday they're receiving donations.
I like that.
Sleeping bags, and
they're gonna
put like water bottles and hand warmers and gloves, and
they're gonna
wrap it up in the sleeping bag and then pass them out. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, dude.
I know, and it's so cold.
It's that special season. What's sad is because of whether it's the economy or you know whatever's going on. Our boy Mike, you know, for him, we were talking yesterday. And last year, 88 sleeping bags. It was the record year. It was
That's
crazy.
Awesome.
This year, he, you know, since press releases out to the news outlets, nobody really covered it. Nobody's really talking about it. Five so far.
Oh,
five.
Man.
Five. sleeping bags. I was like, dang, dude. Really? What's going on?
When is the distribution?
Christmas Eve. He takes it out. He goes around personally. In yeah.
Now, they're on Central, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Central and Richmond. Corner of Central and Richmond.
That's not cool.
And how it happened, it's the sixth annual. How it happened for him is 6 years ago, not a famous, but like one of the regulars, if you will.
Right.
His name's Johnny. He's constantly in Nob Hill area.
Right.
One of the homeless gentlemen in Nob Hill. And Mike just asked him, dude, what do you need? You know,
you're
like,
kidding.
Because you constantly see these people and it's like, here's $5. Or,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like, what are their actual needs? And the very first thing that came out of his mouth was sleeping bag.
Really?
He said, you don't realize how cold it is at night sleeping on concrete.
No kidding.
And so.
Because it doesn't warm up.
Right. So he said, a sleeping bag. And so he collects cold weather sleeping bags and every year just goes out and tries to find people who are truly in need on the street.
And you can pick those up at Walmart for like $15.
Which is crazy, right? So, yeah.
$15.
I know.
Well, if they give him cash donations, can he go?
That's what he does.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Good.
So, hoping for something cool. Mitch and I will be broadcasting live on Monday, corner of Central and Richmond, hanging out and collecting
sleeping bags. Bring some attention to that.
Yeah. So, trying to raise awareness for Comics Cause, local 501c3, and so they do help, trying to help the homeless as well.
That's so cool.
But it's good to see people in our community banding together to try and not just raise awareness and make people know what's going on.
Right.
That is important, but to actually do something about it.
Well, and even as far as Aspen Project is concerned, I mean, you know, we do reach out to kids.
Yeah.
There are a lot of homeless kids.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to have a child taken away from their parents is because of homelessness.
Right.
When I was a kid, we were homeless. And so motels for us are kind of close to home for me. So that's why we're going to be going to the motels and just knocking on doors and saying, hey, we have a trailer full of, we're going to have a lot of the toys in the trailer and just say, you know, how old, you know, is it a boy or a girl? And then hopefully be able to bless these kids on Christmas Day. Yeah, it's, you know, we're really, really, really excited. This is the first time we'll be able to do it. And we're hoping it can be something we can do every year.
Yeah.
You know, that it'll be, I don't know, just something they can look forward to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can remember not getting gifts for Christmas because we didn't have a tree. We didn't have money. We didn't, you know, Christmas was like truly about family, about let's be thankful we're together, you know? So we're excited to be able to bless these kids.
Yeah. Amen. Man, we post the details every single time at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Of course, calvaryabq.org.
Yes.
You can find out all the details on the gift toy drive.
Yes. And also, we need stuff for teenagers, for teenage girls and boys.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing, like, I noticed immediately was a lot of the toys that you saw were little kid toys.
Yes. And
so,
we need those.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Right now, we are, you know, after going through all those toys, going, okay, we're coming up real short on stuff for teenagers.
Right.
Especially teenage boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything you can think of, you know, games, card games, you know. I mean, it's funny because I saw another organization, they were asking for Kindles for the boys that are in their organization. I'm like, dude, I don't know about that. But, you know, it would be really neat to be able to give them something. And it doesn't need to be a Kindle or an iPad or anything like that.
Well, I mean, because we're talking about potentially homeless people.
Right.
So it's like, hey, here's an iPad.
It?
That's the very first thing I thought
of.
Right, like,
that's right.
It's going to be great for like 12 hours.
That's right.
And then the battery dies.
If that. Because you know when you first get it, you've got to charge it.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, don't do that.
Way to look at it,
Steve-O. Don't do that.
Yeah,
way to
don't
look
do
at
that.
Practical. Practical. Maybe a Walkman. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
And a 12-pack of Double A's.
That's right. That's right.
Do they still sell Walkmans anywhere?
No.
Discman?
You can probably get it from, like, I don't know, eBay. Or
now it's probably worth a ton
Amazon.
Of money thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy. It's
I
like,
know, huh?
Man, if you could get a Walkman.
Look at this. The Walkman's now an MP3
See
player.
There?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Amazing.
Oh, Sony's still putting it out, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's an MP3 player.
But just not a movie.
Gosh, I had like
Sony.
I had the Discman on my dashboard, and it had like the what was it? The skip? It was like the skip protection or whatever. You like put that on. You're like, yeah, it's not gonna skip. Oh, this sucks. It's totally skipping. Amazing.
Wow.
So teenage
gifts.
You must
have been like totally rich to
what?
Have that.
He was.
Are you serious? A Discman?
Yeah.
No.
I never had a Discman.
Really?
For real?
Yeah. I had a Discman. It was cool, man. I was a cool kid.
I had one. And the worst was when you were driving in your car and it would skip.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd
That's
hit a bump. Saying. It'd be like, wish you would step off a... My friend.
Yeah. Get him. Yeah. And you're like, wait. Yeah.
No.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. You would try to time it with when it would come back in.
Oh,
That's
man.
So funny.
The disc man.
What a hard life we have.
I know, man. It's tough.
Well, you think about it.
Sorry.
It's so funny because I used to carry
teenagers
on.
And I get these complaints all the time. I'm
right.
like, shut up!
Are you mad at us right now, Michelle Schroff?
You had those like CD cases where you like kept the CDs and the sleeves and stuff, and
right?
you had to carry them around like that because, man, the first time Joey Belleville showed me an iPod, it was like,
what?
What? I had the first iPod. What is this? What is this revolutionary?
Clay won the first iPod, and we didn't know what it was.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We were like, what is
but
this?
But how do you put CDs in it? Like, how does it play your
That's
CDs?
Right. This kid at the airport had to show Clay how to use it. It was
Gosh.
Hilarious.
Which is another, I mean, it's a reminder of who we are trying to get donations for.
That's right.
So I guess the simpler, the better, because
right.
these are, we're talking about less fortunate children here.
Right.
A lot of them homeless.
Right.
And would
Jackets,
just love.
Jackets, scarves, hats.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
things like that. I mean.
Yeah.
Card games.
It's not like when you were a kid and your grandma got you a pair of pants and you're like, dang it! She doesn't know me at all! No, dude, these kids actually would be stoked on a pair of
That's
pants.
That's right. They would
or
be.
Or a jacket or, yeah.
Yes.
Just something
Shoes.
New that, yeah, they can
Socks.
Call their own.
That's right.
So.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's probably the only new thing they've ever received.
And that's it, man. So details are available. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It's the Calvary Albuquerque The Gift Toy Drive. You can also just go directly to calvaryabq.org to find out details. And Aspen Project,
yes.
Project
yeah.
Zoe.
You will have no problems finding the drop point.
That's right.
For these gifts.
It's in the foyer.
Can't miss it.
It's a giant present.
Yeah, it's
it
amazing.
Is cool.
I think it's the coolest thing.
It
yeah.
looks
it
like a building.
Yeah,
it
it's
does.
You go in and you're like, oh!
Yeah.
Well, and then there's like toys outside.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
yeah.
It's
yeah.
really cool.
It is. It's awesome.
We're walking by this morning and I'm like, that Avengers Assemble bicycle is pretty great, man. Not going to lie.
No doubt.
It's pretty cool.
We didn't steal
There's
it.
Some cool gifts
You didn't?
In there.
No,
no,
ma'am.
Sure, Matt.
No, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't our size.
It had training wheels and I'm a little bit
small.
Beyond those.
Yeah.
Just
a little.
So, yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. So what else is going on? What else you got going on?
A lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's the holiday season. It's
yeah.
Christmas time.
Things are slowing down at Project Zoe just because of the holidays. And
yeah.
with Aspen Project, they're picking up like crazy because of the gifts and toys and everything. So we're excited.
Nice.
We're excited to give them out and
yeah.
see whose lives we can touch. You know,
yeah.
that's most importantly why we're doing it. It's not, hey, let's get baby dolls. You know,
right,
it's,
right.
It's fun and to see their faces when you hand them a gift. It's like,
what about
you don't
that
even
aspect
know me.
Of it? Like the handing out. Do you have enough
yes.
volunteers? You guys are stocked.
I think
you're
so.
Full?
I think
okay.
so. I think so. If anyone is interested in coming out with us on Christmas afternoon, because you know you'll mm-hmm. have the mornings open gifts.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but usually I'm napping
by 11
on the couch.
a.m. You're like. Well, that was Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So
parades and football and sleep.
That's right.
Hooray.
So last night we were kind of recruiting some folks that, you know, we know are single and would be interested in just coming out. And
hey, you're alone. You want to go out with us
right.
on a...
You want to watch some people open gifts.
Hey, you're alone. Oh,
you guys
and
are
act
good
like
at recruiting.
You actually bought them.
Just pretend like you bought it.
That's incredible.
Somebody's going to walk away with a really, really good like feeling of Christmas.
That's right.
I didn't do anything, but I feel like I did a lot. And that's the meaning of Christmas.
That's it. Isn't that what it's all about?
No.
That's how I try to do it every year.
What?
As little as possible.
Well, we were talking last week with Clay because you guys have 10 children in your home
yes.
and thinking about how it works
man.
As far as...
Yeah, we're greedy.
Know, the Jeters, we were preparing for Christmas here and Christy and I were like, man, you know, we only have 3 kids. And
yeah.
still, it's like, okay, what are we going to do? What kind of presents?
Yeah.
And
when we had 3 kids, we made the decision that they were getting one gift.
Wow.
And a stocking. So, and you know, ever since we did that, we notice more thankful.
Yeah.
And you know what's even crazier? You guys are going to be like, what? But when I ask the kids, okay, I create a little index card and just put, you know, what does Savannah want for Christmas? And then she makes a list of things. My kids have the hardest time writing what they want for Christmas.
Wow.
And it's like, well, you're only getting one thing. But for them, they're just like, well, I have everything I need.
Yeah. Aww.
So
see, that's cool.
That's a good set.
Yeah. I love that. Well, and it's one of those things that I do believe that by them every year, just receiving the one gift, and you know, we, you know, it's not like we're like, here's a pack of socks,
right?
You know,
right.
We do try to watch and see what are their gifts and talents. What, you know, what is God doing with their lives? You know, I have one who's like, oh, I want to try calligraphy. And I'm all, what?
Wow.
Yeah, seriously. So I'm going, okay, but she asked for
a bunch of... Do they still sell pens and paper?
They do.
I'm just kidding.
I just mean, believe it or not. Yeah, they're feathers. And, no. Yeah. But she gave me a Christmas list, and everything was an electronic device. And I was like, sorry, dude, you're 13. You don't get electronic devices.
Those are our kids right now. That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
iPad. It's like, what do you want?
iPad.
And I'm like, no. Okay, grandma needs to know what you want.
That's right. And
we
iPad,
just need a list. iPad.
Yeah.
iPad.
That was her too. And I just said, it's not an option until you're 16, and then we'll reevaluate.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have a 16 rule at our house. But, you know, it's
that's good.
Well,
we're just talking about 8-year-olds with iPhones. So I'm like, okay.
No.
All right.
She's 13 and doesn't even have a phone.
Okay.
I'm like, what do you need a phone for?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, who is she calling?
Right.
For real.
No. Yeah. Who's she calling?
Serious. We talk to people in person. It's this really neat thing called communication.
I love what you guys do and the way you're raising your kids. It's awesome. It really is. So
May not think so right now, but that's
my wife found this really rad list, and so I think we're going to try and implement it this year.
Yeah,
it was the 4-gift list.
Have you heard of it? Yes.
Okay.
Is it something you want,
something you need,
something to wear, something
you read?
That's not what it was.
Yeah,
something you want, something you read, something of Play-Doh, and something for Mateo. Custom list.
That's not it.
Think about
hilarious.
It. I'm going to get
because
so much stuff.
Because you guys would never buy Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Brody would eat, he would eat so much Play-Doh. I'm getting him Play-Doh.
Awful.
Do not give him Play-Doh.
I'm giving him Play-Doh.
Play-Doh's the worst.
I feel you. Because then
you
it's
have
on
to
the
have,
carpet.
Serious. You have
and
to have like a
colors.
Play-Doh-proof house.
Ugh.
It's awful.
You can build a house made of Play-Doh and eat it.
That's what preschool's for.
He hasn't had kids yet. So
I just have fine
right.
memories.
Guess what we're getting them for the baby shower?
Play-Doh?
Dude.
Bring it on. I'll eat all that stuff. It's not even going to make it to the baby. I'm going to eat the Play-Doh.
Because I remember being a kid and loving Play-Doh. And then being a parent and hating
Play-Doh. Yeah, you know why?
Play-Doh.
Because your parents would beat you if you took that Play-Doh off the kitchen table.
Oh, man.
Serious.
Yeah. We would get like the wax paper.
Oh, see?
Keep it on the wax paper.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, that's
so nice.
Yeah.
When you have 10 kids, you don't keep nothing on anything.
I bet not.
You don't. It's a joke.
You don't keep nothing on anything.
I know.
I'm
tweeting that.
We have 5 that are little, and it's 8 to 2 years old. Oh. And it's hilarious to get
them
all
together.
Well,
that's what you get for having a preschool.
I know. Serious. You know,
that's
the 8-year-old
awesome.
Wants to be the boss. You know,
right.
We're like, oh my gosh.
You
please.
Guys, you're just constantly watching a social experiment
it's,
going, let's see what
seriously.
They'll do with this set of
it's
circumstances.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And people always ask me, how do you handle hitting or how do you handle lying? And I'm like, oh my gosh, just any given day. I don't know.
Yeah.
It changes.
Tuesday we did this. That didn't work. So Wednesday.
Seriously. Because the first 5 really weren't hitters, you know? But I have 3 boys in this last 5. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're always hitting each other.
Wow.
What do you mean, how do we handle hitting?
Yeah.
You can't hit each other unless you're playing with dad.
It went from don't hit each other to don't hit each other that hard.
Exactly. Or don't hit each other unless dad's there. Because they do.
It's weird, right?
It's the weirdest thing.
That's Jack and Luke. It's like
dude,
this weird.
They're always hitting.
Yeah. It's like they don't even. All of a sudden, you're like out of your peripheral. You know, they're quiet for a second. And then all of a sudden, you just see these two worlds just
serious
running
crash.
Full force into each other.
It's funny to me how Steve will go, guys, stop. People are coming over.
Yes.
Stop. And they go, okay.
Okay.
And then it's
3
within
seconds.
18 seconds
not
later.
Even.
And it's not even. It's not
flying
like.
Flying elbow off of you. Like, it's like, what did I just.
Well,
it's not defiance. It's like they literally forgot. They forgot that it happened. They
know.
Like, wait a second. What? Where am I?
I gotta jump off of this.
I think
I
blacked out.
I have to jump off of this bookshelf. Elbow to the face on my brother.
And the sound
effects.
Because
I love him.
The sound effects are ridiculous. Serious. I have a 2-year-old that everything is a gun.
Brody, I've never had this.
A straw.
Help me.
He goes into the drawer in the kitchen and gets out a straw and shoots it.
Jack and Luke never went through this gun phase. They did
it. That's my little
one. Okay, and Brody, he's 2 years old.
Yes.
And he got this Rocket Raccoon toy, and he aims
yes.
he aims
at your head.
At your head.
Yeah.
and is constantly shooting you. Mm-hmm. And just grabbing, like, things.
Yeah, everything.
And using everything to shoot you.
You know what my son got?
Like, where did this come from?
He took the letter F out of a letters puzzle and made it a gun. I'm not even kidding you.
Oh, this looks like a gun.
I'm not even kidding you. I was like, he's so creative. This looks like a nice
pop-action shotgun. I like that. But here's the deal.
It's like
how many times has Clay taken him? How many times has Clay taken him hunting?
No, the cheer will
okay,
never.
Cool.
Never. That's why I'm like, he's like testosterone.
Man, it's crazy.
I got tons of memories brought back to me the other day because Clay came in.
Right.
Which one did he have with him? I don't know.
This last
our 5-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was his birthday. What's it, Jonathan?
Yes, yes. Jonathan. He
brought Jonathan in, and they were going fishing after the show.
Oh, yeah.
And my granddad used to take me fishing all the day, and I was like, man, or all the time. And it was like, oh, I remember those days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Those were good days.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan's going to have a good day.
Oh, he did.
That's cool.
He did. He had a blast. Yeah. That's what he wanted, though. But for Father's Day, or no, Clay's birthday, Clay's funny about getting gifts. He doesn't like to get gifts.
Dude.
You too?
I Clay will really wait doesn't like until everybody gifts. Leaves
yeah.
and like go up in the bedroom yeah. and open it by myself.
That's how
I just
Clay
don't
is.
I feel like this weird expectation of like
I got to love it.
Thank you. You know. Yeah.
So what we all did
I
was instead
gifts.
Of giving him a gift, we all said, "Okay, we're all going to write something down that we'll do with Dad that he enjoys."
Mm.
So each person said, "Okay, well, I'll this certifies that Sierra will go hiking with Dad."
Mm.
So
that's a cool
everyone
idea.
Did a certificate. And I'm not kidding you. Clay has like cashed in, I'd say half of them within a month.
Clay's a man's man too. How many
he
times
really
did
is.
He cry?
Dude, you don't even know.
That's what I'm saying. He's not an emotional person,
know.
But I got emotional
he's,
thinking about how sweet that was.
No, he is. Clay is an emotional person. The tough is like a half a centimeter thick.
Shh.
Serious.
You can't say that.
Dude, it's like marshmallow.
Clay, Steve-O brought this up. Yeah. Steve-O brought this up, Clay.
He is a marshmallow. I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah.
He's just like so
yesterday.
Sensitive.
I hung out with him. I love your husband. He's a good dude.
But he's so sensitive.
What? No, he is not.
He is.
Stop
it's
it.
Hilarious.
Steve-O made your wife call you sensitive.
I did not, Clay.
I'm just over here in the corner.
I did not.
I think
not
you're strong.
Saying anything.
He is a man's man.
No, he is. But he, I mean,
he's
there are
things freaking John
that,
Wayne, man. Like, he is
him.
Tough.
That get him.
Yeah.
Steve-O just called you old.
That is so
you're
funny.
Such a jerk.
I know.
But my daughter's fiance and him have guns in common, so my husband is so stoked.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh my gosh, I love this guy.
Wow.
Let's go shooting.
We have guns in common.
They do. That's it.
And you
they'll
wonder why the kid's
hours.
Picking up an F and calling it a gun?
Yeah. It's an F. Isn't that hilarious?
Oh, man.
Yeah. All
and
of
then
my
he
kids.
Like bites off the tip and throws it. And you're
it.
Like, what are you doing? He's
grenade.
Like, it's an F-bomb.
That's
well done.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's it for me.
Yeah.
Best joke of the week. We'll see you guys again next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely better than Hot Top Cat, which was, that will never
it's,
be lived
it's
down.
It's the goth kitty store, right, for your cat, so you can get the cat's ears.
Tell me something. Somewhere. Which store is he referencing?
Oh.
Which one?
Is it Hello Kitty?
No.
Oh.
And that's why, Steve-O.
Hot Topic. It was Hot Topic, the like goth store, but it was for cats.
Hot Top
I've never
cat.
Even been in there. It's too dark for me. I can't see the price tag. So I'm going
Doug,
it's too dark.
We got this, buddy.
It's too dark.
We got
Gosh.
It.
It's too dark.
Gosh.
It is.
I love it when you come in. It's so much fun.
I love coming in.
Gosh.
That's good stuff.
You can catch all the details for the Calvary Albuquerque, the gift toy drive.
Yep.
Amazing what's going on right now. So get all the details. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio mm-hmm. or CalvaryABQ.org. You can catch the details there and... So, Merry Christmas. We're
Merry
not going to see you next week.
Yeah.
No, it's my birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Christmas Eve is your birthday, huh?
Wednesday.
Crazy.
Interesting.
I know.
Well, we won't see you then.
I know.
But, yeah.
Sorry.
So we won't see you until 2015.
2015.
Yeah. Sadness.
Wow.
I don't get back till January 2nd. I leave Sunday.
Yeah. Where are you going?
We're going to Florida for a week and then Mississippi for a week.
Mm.
No road trip. Just
flying.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what
nice.
He does.
That's how he does. So.
Florida, Dawn's family?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are so sweet.
Yeah,
look
we
at
are
you.
Sweet. I like her family.
No, I like that you switch it up, that you're going
They're
to both.
They're getting to see both.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
It's worked out
we
really
We never
well.
Did that.
Aww.
That's why we've been married for 20 years. I'm just kidding.
Because you never saw the family?
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Keep him out.
Amazing.
Keep him
amazing. We got to take a quick break.
Let's take one.
We're going to get back into some music. Coming up, 9 o'clock hour, of course, Theology Thursday. Pastors Jarrett Pietro, Brian Nixon, going to be hanging out with us. We're going to have a good time this morning. It shall be fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Of course. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio for all the details. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Pietro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Theology Thursday, Steve-O, Mateo, along with Pastor
Brian and Jarrett.
Hey. Hey, guys.
Hey, we missed you guys last week, but we hear the broadcast was just a tremendous broadcast.
Nathan Foster, man, The Makings of an Ordinary Saint. And I'll tell you, I grabbed a copy of his book, and it is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's cool because it's intermingled with Celebration of Discipline. His father, Richard J. Foster, wrote Celebration of Discipline back in 1978.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that book now being referenced in history books as far as spiritual formation.
Yeah.
One of the pioneers of that, at least in this generation.
Yeah, let me just shed a little bit of history on this.
Yeah.
It's interesting, just to so people could understand a little bit about where this influence came from. Believe it or not, Richard Foster was a pastor at a friend's church, a Quaker church, I think somewhere in Southern California, and I don't know exactly where. Somehow or another, Dallas Willard, the University of Southern California philosophy teacher, was attending there. And together, they started to discuss, you know, what we would call the biblical practices, you know, which have later been turned into spiritual formation, prayer, fasting, these
solitude.
Type of things, solitude.
Yeah.
And anyway, so the two architects of what we would call the modern movement of spiritual formation, Richard Foster and Dallas Willard, were actually connected way back when in the 70s in Southern California. So
it's amazing.
Small world.
Yeah. So Richard J. Foster wrote Celebration of Discipline in 1978. His son grew up in that spiritual formation household, if you will, you know. And so we had a great interview last week. Had a chance to talk to him about what it was like growing up in that system, and he's now, you know, late 30s and kind of hitting a midlife crisis, if you will, and said, you know, I don't want to buy a red convertible, and I guess I don't want to have an affair, and I don't want to, you know, do these things that quote unquote normal Americans do. So he said he became a monk, he became a saint, and told his wife, this is the journey I'm going on. And so the book's really great because it takes excerpts from Richard J. Foster's dad's book, Celebration of Discipline, like the submission chapter. The introduction to submission is basically what you would get in Celebration of Discipline. Here's what, you know, my dad says, blah, 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 submission. And here's how I went about the
interesting. So it's almost like a journal journey of his.
I
admit I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to it because both you and Mateo were really excited about
the
interview.
We loved it.
Yeah.
It was cool because it was honest. You know, in our culture, we want to get I'm not knocking it because I know it's sold millions of copies and it helped a lot of people, but we want that purpose-driven life. We want that 40 days to a better you. We want to be able to grab something and by the end of 40 days or whatever, feel like we're a different Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this very honest assessment that it's not a 40-day journey or even a 40-month journey. It's like a 40-year journey of trial and error, basically, and falling forward and continuing in these disciplines because we're going to develop habits, whether it's good habits or bad habits, they'll become their habits, you know, like bad eating will create, you know, you're going to gain 50 pounds and you're not going to develop those 50 pounds overnight. They're going to come over the course of developing a bad habit of eating terrible food.
Yeah. And so, I like, you know, just for all Christians, irregardless of where you stand in the spiritual disciplines movement, movement, is when it boils down to it, these are biblical disciplines.
Yeah.
These are things, maybe not every single one, but they are derived from the Bible.
That was great.
And so I think, you know, they are great truths to investigate in Scripture. But speaking of culture.
Yeah.
Steve-O, there, you know, right before the show, we were talking about some things that were going on, and you said the Facebook page has been lit up with questions about something specific.
It just blew up. We were talking this morning about the interview, new film from Sony Pictures involving Seth Rogen and James Franco, and basically this film where these two idiots are hired by the CIA, by the American government, to go assassinate Kim Jong-il, or Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il, his dad, Kim Jong-un, and, you know, since then, hackers, ever since the trailer came out, and the hackers and Sony executives' lives destroyed, basically, by a lot of this stuff, and recently, these hackers decided to start threatening people mm-hmm. that go see the film at the box office, reminding people of 9/11 and that there would be consequences to them seeing this film. So movie theaters begin deciding not to show it at their cinemas, and Sony yesterday announced that they were just going to shelve the film and not let it air, period. And so we had, man, the phone lines blew up. We had a solid hour of people just chiming in saying, "Nah, man, America, we can't inhibit our freedom of expression. We should show this movie on national television, and we need to do." And then there were others. It's like, dude, this is a Seth Rogen movie. You know
to me, I think of, you know, back in the '80s. You know, 007. Everything was anti-Russia, so you had films like that. I almost see there's nothing different. You know, recently the new Red Dawn that came out was all North Korea attacking the U.S. soil, and I watched it. And so, you know, it's interesting with North Korea, especially with this film. I think it's just overrated. Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, it's propaganda by Sony to re-release it and make more money.
And we don't know. The U.S. government has said that they're going to release a statement today. They've been investigating, if you will. They're working on some things and trying to discern what's going on with this with the cyber hacks, whether it was in fact North Korea. Because if it was North Korea, you know, people like Newt Gingrich are jumping on and saying, this is an act of war. This is an act of terrorism. We need to take action. What are we doing?
Here's my two cents. And maybe to tie it into our Theology Thursday. Yes. Biblical basis. I see there's being two factors that we need to address, and Jared and I could take turns with you guys chiming in. One is the attitude of fear. It seems to me that there's fear, maybe some of it rightfully, you know, we should be rightfully a healthy fear. Yeah. But the second factor, and I think is coming from Paul in Philippians 4, of what Christians should be setting their mind upon, be it media, be it, you know, world politics, be it all of these type of things. So, when I look at a situation like this or an incident like this, that's what comes to my mind. The concept, the heart of it is a fear mentality. And then secondly, what is it that Christians should be engaged in doing with our own minds, with our own thoughts? So let me tackle the first.
Yeah.
Proverbs, and throughout Proverbs, and then obviously in other texts throughout Scripture, clearly says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Mm. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So biblically, fear begins with a healthy awe, wonder of who the Lord is. So should we fear a government like North Korea? Ultimately, no, because the Lord has, you know, them in within his, you know, hands, within his providence, if you will. Should we fear other people? Theoretically, no, we shouldn't. But the reality at times is that governments do fear other governments and people do fear other people. So I think what we need to do as Christians is we need to step back sometimes and get a right perspective, an eternal perspective on what is before us. And I think, even transcending, you know, the American, you know, freedom ethic, which of course we are Americans and I do support that, we need to stand back and go, what does this mean as Christians in relationship to a fear basis? Jarrett?
Yeah, you know, I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and a sound mind. And he is, you know, we're not to fear the things of the world in that sense. As Brian mentioned in Proverbs, I am reminded in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is a holy fear of God, and I think when we do the right thing and reverential fear and worship fear towards God, there is a you know, like we're saying, a healthy fear. But there isn't, we're not to have the spirit of fear when it comes to the things of the world. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think of anything, and we don't have to tackle this movie anymore because it's somewhat overrated in my mind, but I think that it just empowers that seat of government. I think by taking out a film, it's like, you know, we don't live under the rules of North Korea. We have freedom of expression. And, you know, how far does this go? You know, I mean, are we going to start to, why not remove pornography? That offends us as Christians, and that offends most people as if you're a parent, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it goes on and on. What about other garbage that's coming out of Hollywood, if you will, you know, what about that? And on you know, just a greater scale. So, but going back to the believer, I think we are to be reminded that, you know, this is just another notch in the season, you know, that we see Christ is coming. The time is short, and God told us that things would be this way.
Yeah.
And but we're not to have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and to walk with the Lord, knowing that, you know, God is going to judge all this. And, you know, you empower a man like Kim Jong, and he is, you know, sees his influence in Hollywood. Can you imagine? I mean, what happened to the 1940s when they were hunting down Charlie Chaplin with Nazi propaganda?
Right.
You know, but now we're taking movies out that would offend another country?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, and I totally appreciate what Jarrett just said, you know, about fear. I think, and I don't know all the details of this. I haven't been too well read up on this. But my thought is that why the movie theaters are pulling is they do not want to have any violence at these theaters.
Right. So how much of it is protecting your patron?
Right. And so I think, you know, though we're not to fear, there is a practical side of what you said, protecting the patron. And it really is a very fascinating ethical dilemma.
It really is, because I think back, you know, Matt and I are both comic book nerds, and Captain America punched out Hitler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like Captain America, they totally reimagined things in the comic books.
Sure.
And Cap was kind of one of those propaganda guys where you've got this amazing hero who's punching out the Nazis and doing these incredible things. And I'm pretty sure if Germany at the time had said, hey, Marvel, you can't make these comic strips because they're offensive to our leader, we probably would have just like sent them a subscription to Captain America.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And so.
So true. But, you know, going back to Jarrett's first point, politically, it's very intriguing.
It is.
You know, for that essentially what North Korea has done is they have politically, you know, muffled us.
Yeah.
Muffled, not us, not America, but muffled Hollywood.
Right, because Sony, which, you know, Japanese, the head executives, it's Japan, not even America. Yeah. But Sony has decided to shelve it, a private corporation, and it's kind of turned into the, whether you look at CNN or Fox News or whoever you go to for news, it became this like, America has backed down, you know? And then the BBC's like, well, a private corporation has, you know? And so you have to look at it from that perspective, that this is still a private corporation that decided to shelve a film, not America backing down from North Korea.
Yeah.
However, again, the U.S. government has said they are going to make an official statement today after they, you know, combed through the findings of who was responsible for the cyber attack. At that point, then it may well become our nation's responsibility.
Then Newt Gingrich's whole thing of this is attack against America, comes into play. Right. You know, another thing that I brought up, you know, we addressed the fear issue, but also the issue of what Christians should be engaging their mind upon.
Yeah.
And I always go to Paul in Philippians 4. This is one of my scripture verses that I go to all the time when I am trying to assess, you know, A, should I see this movie? B, should I listen to this type of music? C, you know, should I be even thinking or engaging myself in this? And this section of scripture, I think, is very helpful. And this is what Paul says. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you saw, learned, and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hmm. I just love that, because what Paul's saying is, you know, when you do these things, God's peace will be upon you. And we don't have time right now to exposit all these words, but, you know, just think of that first thing. Think on, or meditate on, or place your mind upon whatever things are true, you know, and that's ethically true.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever things are just and noble and things are pure. And this is a good matrix, if you will, a good measuring rod, yeah, for us to go, you know what? Should I be engaged with this? Should I be worried about this? Should I even want to go see something like this?
Are you telling me that I can't watch Die Hard on Christmas because that's just about the greatest Christmas movie of all time?
Die Hard.
He said that right. Yeah. You heard it right. The funny thing about all this stuff, I was just reading some reviews about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of critics are like, the movie utterly sucks.
Right.
Is the term. Right. Like, that's the phrase that, it's that's so the critique.
It's a James Franco Seth
Rogen. So the funny thing is going to be, after all this hoopla,
it's gonna be really
right, and then Sony does use it to push it, and we all go see it, because we're like, no, North Korea sucks. I'm right. An American.
Right.
And then it's like, man, that movie sucked.
Yep.
This is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's Theology Thursday. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. I know we have quite a few emails as well to get to, so
yeah,
I'm going to kind of speed through this morning, if you will.
I got one for you guys.
Let's head. Oh, see, I jumped on the phone here. Let's go to line two real quick. Static, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hola.
Hey, man, you know, yeah, just on a side note, I was listening to you guys just now, obviously. Yeah, you know, Rush Limbaugh can say whatever he wants because he's not going to be a guy that, you know, enlists in the army and goes and fights the fight, you know? Mm. It's interesting that people are so flippant with their comments for ratings.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm a veteran. So, you know, I put my blood and bones and my future on the sidelines for this country years and years and years ago. But, yeah, dude, when people just, you know, make flippant comments because of political agendas or this or that, you know, in the name of America, sometimes, I mean, I know it's their right to do it, but I think there should come a responsibility with that as well.
Right on.
On another note, dude, yeah, struggling with some things. So, like, you know, people coming up to me or, you know, and wanting advice. And, you know, just humility being the topic for me this morning. You know, when you become so acquainted with your own frailties and your own struggles to a point that, you know, somebody approaches you or even the way that you digest information and you're looking at it, can you become just completely ineffective in your humility? I mean, where you're like, you know, I'm feeling that way. I'm feeling constrained lately. And it's not that, you know, you're talking to a guy that's pretty dedicated, you know, no alcohol, no drugs, nothing like that. But it's just to get to a point in my own walk where I'm like, you know, I take it back to scripture. It's the only place that I can speak from anymore and probably should. But in using my own practical application and life experience, I don't know, man. I feel almost like...
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question just for clarification to help us maybe answer it. What do you mean that you feel you're ineffective in your humility? Does that mean that you're not speaking the truth in love? Or what exactly are you...
No, definitely not. But, okay, so what I mean by that is just feeling like... you know, I'm just a guy, you know, I'm just a human being. And you, like, you're an amazing, you know, and I don't even know if this is a word, theoretical dude, you know, but, you know, you're well-versed, you're studied up, you know, you can quote scripture, you can expound upon these verses and things like that, where, you know, I just fall back to my practical application, you know, my life.
Yeah.
So, what it's taught me.
I think, trying to clarify it, what you mean is, How do you speak to someone? Are you talking someone who's not a believer and relay that Christ is king, if you will, or that this is the way without sounding pompous, or try and help us understand
sort,
what you mean?
Sort of that, and then mixed with, like, God, I mean, who am I to tell them anything?
Right,
Who am I to speak to you and at some point just to look at myself and or anyone for that matter.
I gotcha now.
Just another human being.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, first of all, thank you for serving, you know, as a veteran. You're exactly right. You know, you have put your life forward. You've made a sacrifice for the country and for that we're very, very grateful. So thank you.
Yeah.
You know, secondly, regarding, you know, our life matching our words at times. And you're right. That is something that I think all Christians do struggle with. There's times when we're saying, you know what? I'm telling people to do this and I'm saying we should be doing this. But at times my life isn't any better than yours. And Jarrett, you could weigh in on this as well. But I think at times we've got to separate the truth of Scripture from the tact of our life, or the truth of Scripture from the testimony of our life, because we are sinners. We're never going to live that perfect life, but that shouldn't stop us. That shouldn't necessitate us from speaking the truth in love, speaking Scripture. And when it comes to humility, I think humility is a good thing to have. I would encourage you to read Philippians 2, verses 1-4. And I won't read it all, but what Paul says here in Philippians 2, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So I think when you take humility and properly applied, not a false fake humility, but a proper humility, you're esteeming others better than yourselves. You're saying, you know what? I'm going through struggles. I'm going through things, but I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to speak the truth in love. And I think when you have proper humility, it will propagate, you know, a true understanding of God and His Word. Jarrett.
Yeah, you know, I like the definition of humility, as Brian was saying. So often we go, oh, you know, humility is looking at this or that, you know, and how I should be in line with God. But I like the idea that humility is not thinking of yourself at all. And that's the idea, is true humility, you just really don't think of yourself, you know. And I want to add this, that I think what happens is sometimes we negate or forget the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if the Spirit of God is in you, your life is transformed, right? So God gives you the power to be a witness. And that's one thing I think, instead of, you know, you said about being a human being, I'm just a human being in that. But you got to remember, when you see yourself in the way that Christ sees you as a new believer, as you're transformed by the Holy Spirit, God gives you the power, a supernatural power, to witness to others. And it's the power of the gospel, where Paul talked about he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God manifested, you know, in us. And so I think, you know, as you walk with the Lord, praying that God would give you the humility, but it would be the humility of Christ, and that, again, do not negate the power of the Spirit, because then you're just walking in the flesh, and that's where you end up in this mind fog and discussion in your own head of how I should do this or not do this, whatever. Listen, God is giving you the power through His Spirit to live the Christian life, to be a witness and share the gospel with other people.
Great point, Jarrett. You know, the importance of being Spirit-led and walking in the Spirit is so important in our day-to-day walk. I would also recommend our listener to read the epistles, the letters of John, because John really does an amazing, obviously inspired by the Lord, but an amazing job of drawing that balance between truth and love. You know, what it means to walk in the truth, to be engaged in the truth of Christ, at the same time to have that loving attitude towards all people, towards the, you know, believers, towards non-believers. So anyone out there listening, you know, if you're struggling in that area of, man, speaking the truth, living the truth, obviously I would read the epistles of John. Great, great scripture text.
Right on, man. Does that help?
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. God bless you.
It totally does. And I really appreciate your time this morning, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Later. There you go. All right, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We have had these, so I definitely want to tackle the email questions that we are getting as well. So do you want to go to
We can start with this one.
The big one?
Hello, pastors. Sorry you didn't have the program this week. This was emailed back in November. But I'm looking forward to having you back next week, or today, which is when we're getting to this. I have a question regarding the eternality of God and the time-dimensional characteristics he possesses and gives to us.
Whew!
Woo!
Here we go. This week I was reading the Koinonia House monthly newsletter and Dr. Chuck Missler's article about the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ from 2 Corinthians 5:10.
This is Theology Thursday.
Yeah. It is a very well-written publication, apologetics, and in it Dr. Missler details this judgment and differentiates it from the sheep and goats and great white throne judgments. He included a little timeline chart in which he places the Bema Seat Judgment directly after the rapture of the church, before the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know that there are various viewpoints on these scriptures, the judgments and timing of these events, as there always are, but this brought a few questions to mind. I would like your opinion on the following. Ready?
All right.
Number one, this chart timeline makes it appear that the Bema Seat Judgment would only apply to Christians pre-rapture and not those who accept Christ afterwards. It also makes me wonder whether or not the Old Testament believers would be included. What do you think about the timing of this event and who is included?
Okay.
Number two, because God is eternal and outside of time, it makes sense that for us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, with our spirits shifting outside of time when we die. If this is the case, I don't understand why the Old Testament saints would have been in a holding place like Abraham's bosom, which is referenced in Luke 16, until Christ's sacrifice, if their eternal spirits were outside of time, or why the martyred saints in Revelation 6 are told to rest a little while longer until the full number had been complete if time is not a factor in heaven. I feel like Doc Brown keeps saying, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally. Can you give me your viewpoints? Hope this all makes sense. As always, I love this program. The whole Team Awesome Morning Party. You almost make me want to Facebook just so I can be a part of the fun post. Your Music That's Tuesday, awesome. Blah, blah, blah.
You know, let me just say, first of all, thank you so much for Facebooking, contacting us. Great question. Let me say secondly that it really does involve two components. One, we'll talk about the Bema Seat, and I'll let Jarrett weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. And then I will make some passing comments about the philosophy or the eternality of time. And I believe it was Marty. Marty is so right on. There are different viewpoints.
Marty.
So, Jarrett, talk a little bit so people, most of our listeners understand what he's even talking about.
Okay, yeah. You know, first of all, great questions, as Brian said, but we don't have the chart in front of us. But from what I read, the question would be, is it possible, or there are different views on where the Bema Seat would be, or Bema Seat, depending on the translation. The Bema Seat is referred to by Christ that it would be a seat of judgment placed upon a believer specifically. It is not the great white throne judgment as indicated, but rather it is a judgment based on the works, as Paul would talk about the wood, hay, and stubble, and also the gems, you know, and that we would be judged for the works done unto the Lord. It's all good, actually. The Bema Seat is referenced from Paul when he was visiting there in Ephesus and also Philippi. There was a seat of judgment based upon those citizens, and so it's a citizen type of judgment on believers. The interesting thing is that it is placed, and according to Chuck Missler, which we would believe the same, that it is placed as you go through after the rapture of the church, the Bema Seat would happen, where Christians are judged according to their works unto the Lord. Again, this is not Christians are not judged by their sin because Christ has already paid for that, according to John 5 in reference that we pass from judgment into life. So we will never, as Christians, be judged for our sin. The Bema Seat, again, to clarify, is for the works done unto the Lord. So during that time, of course, going prior to the wedding feast, if you will, between those 7-year tribulation and then right after that when Christ comes and returns to the earth, which is known as the second coming of Christ, is where he is questioning, what about those saints that go through the tribulation and die for their faith in Christ? Well, it's interesting because, again, you have that judgment based on the Bema Seat. And the view is that there are those believers prior to this being judged for their works unto the Lord. I believe, again, and this is where Brian's going to talk about time, that they will also be judged for their works unto the Lord. But usually, as you see in Revelation, the clear indication is those who receive Christ, they're dying for their faith instantaneously because they didn't receive the mark of the beast. Will they do works unto the Lord? Yes, they will. Will Christ take that into consideration? Absolutely. But again, that Bema seat is looked at. Could it be after that? No one knows for sure. But again, the best position of that would be right after the rapture, prior to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Going into the second question, I hope that answers to a certain degree, but the Old Testament saints, as they were held in this holy place, and again, this has to do with time, it is clear, according to Luke 16, with the story of Lazarus, who goes into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, for those of you listening, is a holding place, if you will. We call it paradise. Paradise includes Hades and also paradise. But there's a gulf that's fixed between them. When Christ descended, of course, after he died on the cross, he went down there. It says that he who ascended first descended to the lower parts of the earth. That's where he went, and he took up the Old Testament saints. But Christ had to be the first resurrected body because he was the first fruits, fulfilling the Levitical law and what have you, all the feasts. As he raises from the dead, it says in Matthew that Old Testament saints were walking around in their body. And so it's very fascinating. Again, Christ had to raise from the grave, but they were not necessarily like in this holding place or soul sleep. They were alive and conscious. They knew what was going on. But again, Christ had to be the first fruits from the dead. We are also told that we, when we die to go be with the Lord, we are with the Lord. And yet we do have a resurrection of the body that is talked about in the second resurrection. So a lot of things happening there, but the Old Testament saints, just like us, will receive a new body. We will be with Christ for all of eternity. But you got to remember, we're looking at time from the past, present, and future. And time, Brian's going to go into a little bit of that and how that all works out. But yeah, time is a little bit different, if you will, for the Lord, and the dimensions, if I should say.
Yeah, and Jared, great answer, and I thought that was important to just bring our listening audience up to speed on what the Bema Seat is and what Scripture teaches on that. Now, regarding the second component, and I don't mean this to be a cop-out, but there is so much information that could be communicated about the different theories of time, which really boil down to two, which is called the A series and the B series. Ideas or philosophies of time. I don't want to bore our audience with this because the reality is a lot of it is technical, a lot of it is philosophical, and a lot of it is still open for debate. But generally speaking, the Scottish philosopher John MacTaggart developed an argument of time. And since that moment, different philosophers, different thinkers, and yes, theologians have argued for or against one of these theories, either the A series or B series. Now, one such philosopher slash theologian is William Lane Craig, who is an evangelical Christian. Obviously, don't always agree with every point every theologian says, but William Lane Craig is brilliant. He's a very intelligent man, and happened to be one of my professors when I was at the Biola University's apologetics program. And so I was fortunate enough to take some classes with him. But in one of his major arguments called the Kalam Cosmological Argument, he basically formulates this idea of time. And this is William Lane Craig's idea. Everything that begins to exist has a cause of its existence. Two, the universe began to exist. Three, therefore the universe has a cause of its existence. So what William Lane Craig is doing philosophically through this syllogism is saying that the universe had a creator, and God is the creator. The question is, where does God, or how does God, relate to time? And that's where you come up from a theological standpoint to the different ideas. Practically, now let's get practically.
Okay, oh, you don't want to talk about string theory?
Believe me, okay. it all could go there.
Yeah,
really okay. Because you could throw out other Alvin Plantinga. There's other philosophers who have really developed some thoughts and ideology regarding this. But let me just...
His question is, will the Old Testament saints, how do they, in a way, catch up to the New Testament saints with judgment and all that in their bodies?
I was going to give the simple answer. Ultimately, we don't know. I mean, you know, it's all in God's hands.
Right.
And though it may be an oversimplification, no, I always love what Chuck Smith said. Chuck Smith said, you know, that he kind of dealt with this concept of saying, like, the Rose Parade. Yeah. He's at the Rose Parade, and when you're stationed at certain places along the Rose Parade, you could only see, what's right before you. I see this one float. Oh, look, it's this. And then if you were stationed a little bit further down, you could see this float.
Yeah.
Well, God, in Chuck's analogy, is sitting, up in the stands, though God's not sitting in the stands.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying?
Sure. I hear you.
And he's able to see the beginning of the parade and the ending of the parade, and not only that, we would say theologically, he's involved right. with the parade, through his spirit, through the person of Christ, and so on and so forth. So God has the advantage to see things in a holistic or a providential way. So to answer the Facebook question, we don't ultimately know how God is going to work all things together for good, how this confluence, how this conjoining together of historical events is going to play out, other than the fact that we are trusting that God will do it.
Right.
Now, if this guy wants to go study the different theories of time and what people have to say, more power to you, but it really is very, very detailed philosophical work.
I have a couple of thoughts.
If you didn't understand Inception, don't try and read these books.
Number one, I should have told you guys this was a girl that sent this in.
Yeah. Oh.
Also, number two.
She wrote a great question.
Is it not kind of Gnostic to think that we're just going to turn into spirits?
Well, yeah. Biblically, when we go to Revelation 21 and 22, there is a new heaven and a new earth. God, we are physically
right.
resurrected. And Paul makes the point in Corinthians that as Christ rose from the dead, physically, the body, so too will,
we
Christians.
We raise physically.
Physically.
So that would make the waiting room kind of make sense.
Like in Beetlejuice, where you like take a number and he's like waiting.
Yeah, again, that's another whole theological argument of paradise versus heaven. But the reality is to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. What state and how that looks in the interim, there's debate and discussion. But what the Bible and what Paul specifically is clear about, that we will be resurrected physically from the dead.
All right. Man, phone lines are jammed up. We got so many questions. We're going to try and get through as many as possible. Let's go to line one. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, guys. This is Rhett. I'm really enjoying the conversation today. So I have this issue. I've got a friend that has just started listening to the podcast, and he asked me a couple of questions. And I tend to wax extremely verbose and excessively loquacious.
Oh.
I thought you guys might be able to answer or define these two terms in slightly...
Could you dumb it down for me, guys?
slightly more simplistically. Praetorism. What is praetorism, and why does it or does it not make sense? And then the other thing is the gap theory as far as creation goes.
All right. Two big questions.
Yeah. I'll handle the gap theory.
I'll tackle preterism. Right. Now, when we talk preterism is an end times view. It's a theological construct, and there are two sub-branches of preterism. There's partial preterism, and there's fulfilled preterism. Partial preterism, by and large, again, and I'm not broad-brushing here, I'm trying not to, partial preterism basically states that the majority of the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the early church, working up to roughly Nero. And preterists, one of their major arguments is that the book of Revelation was written prior to 70 AD. So they're saying because it was written prior, that most of the book was fulfilled with the early persecution of the church. However, partial preterists draw the line to say that Christ has not come back. He has not returned. That's why they're called partial preterists. They believe the majority of Revelation has been fulfilled, but Christ is still yet to come. Now, fulfilled preterism believes that Christ, and I know this sounds crazy, has already returned. And in my estimation, that is verging on very unorthodox viewpoints. When you look at the world today, you surely do not see what is described in Revelation 21 and 22. This is not the new heavens and new earth. Sin, suffering, violence, death is still with us. Now, there are lots of advocates for the preterist viewpoint, and a lot of great Christian men and women. You could even, in the larger construct, put preterism in a way as a cousin to post-millennial thought. Hmm. It really is trying to interpret Revelation historically within the confounds of the early church. So that's a simple answer.
Yeah.
And then, Jared, I'll let you tackle the gap theory.
Yeah, you know, in your question to the gap theory, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, the idea of Genesis 1 between verses 1 and 2, in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Then there's a, before going into the second verse, when it speaks about the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering, there is a belief that in between verses 1 and 2, something happened. And a lot of things are just thrown in there. So a good example of the gap theory, there's a gap between verses 1 and 2. One of those ideas is that that's when Satan fell. Or Lucifer fell and became Satan in his fall. And so you have this idea between when God created something perfect in verse 1, going into verse 2 where it's formless, it's void, the Spirit of God is hovering. It seems like it indicates that there would be, something happened. And so, and again, there are different strong, believers who believe this as well, and they base it on certain things. We know that there are, good points to it, and then there are things that fall apart. But the idea, again, is that this is where Lucifer fell, this is where sin entered, and causing the form and formless and void, where the Spirit of God had to intervene. The idea that you have to, I believe, retain in this to make it stand is that you have to have a recreation of the earth as a result of the gap theory. And that doesn't fly as strongly as just God created all things and then move forward, because God created everything perfect and it was good, and then there was this massive thing that happened, and then you have go into where God recreates. Now, I will suggest one book for you as a possibility to read by Donald Gray Barnhouse, and he was a great theologian. He was a gap theorist, and he has probably the strongest views on that and the best explanations for it. Very, it's good. I mean, again, there could be a combination of even a part of the gap theory with other things, because we don't know exactly when Satan fell, but we do know it was prior to Adam in the garden, right? And so we kind of guess where that happens according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 27:28 in there. So again, that's the snapshot of that. Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote a book called The Invisible War, and also his commentary on Revelation, he talks about the gap theory. So I hope that helps.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, he accepted it and moved on.
Yeah, all right. Appreciate the call. And yes. Great questions. I mean, great questions. And regarding both of those are still very hot-button topics. You know, there are Christians who adhere to these viewpoints, and they're strong, solid people. They're interpreting Scripture, according to those particular interpretations.
And that's what this program's about. I mean, it's not. There's a lot of things. You should be digging into Scripture and asking questions. Firing. God was never. He's never shy of questions. When Jesus was confronted through the Gospels,
right.
He never turned down a question. And so, like us as well, it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Discover so much, and you may go, oh, I got to correct that. That's not, you got to take the full consistency of the word and go, okay, that's a little different than I thought, and I change it. And that's what's cool about that.
And what's important to note is that you know, I appreciate that, Jared, because it is a dialogue in some sense. But, we do need to note that Calvary's, by and large, do not agree with the preterists,
right.
eschatological stance. Calvary's are what are called premillennial in our eschatology. So Calvary's and the preterists may not agree on how we interpret sections of Revelation, but we do agree on the essential components of the faith.
Man, amazing. We got about 5 minutes left, so I want to try and get to line two. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah.
I've been waiting so long for you guys to just, do Theology Thursday with you guys. So I've been having some pretty deep conversations with a good friend of mine named Orlando. He believes in, his more of belief and faith system is more of like that of the Beat Generation, and he reads a lot of theologist books. Like, his favorite author, I guess, he said was a gentleman named Christopher Hitchens or something. I believe that's his name. I could be getting it wrong. But he was telling me, we were talking about God and about, we just have interesting conversations, and he was telling me the reason why he doesn't believe God is after he read that book by Christopher Hitchens, I guess it's called God's Not Great.
Yes.
And then there was another one called Immortal, that he just really put everything in perspective to him, that his faith is more of like that of, you have to take something to alterate everything so that way you can see the real universe and the way it really is. But when he was reading that book, he said that to him, that really brought him to real realization of that there's no God.
Yeah.
To me, what can I recommend to him to read, or what kind of approach do I take with that? If he's reading these books and I'm not familiar with too many Christian theologians, I want to give him the right information to where I can say, hey, you know what? This is kind of counter to that there is a God.
Right.
Yeah, and we only have 2 minutes left, so let me just try to answer this as quickly as I can. First of all, just for clarification, Christopher Hitchens was not a Christian theologian.
Yeah.
He has since passed. He was an atheist a philosopher and writer, and he popularized, along with other atheist writers, Richard Dawkins being one of the most prominent, this whole new neo-atheist movement. There's lots of literature out there that has addressed this, from William Lane Craig to Alistair McGrath, and the list goes on and on of people who have addressed their points point by point. But let me tell you a great approach, and I really recommend you to get your hands on it. Before Christopher Hitchens died, a pastor by the name of Douglas Wilson sat down with him, and they did a short series of interviews and basically a mini documentary on a pastor and an atheist walking and talking through these components. And I felt Douglas Wilson did a brilliant job in not only showing the love of Christ and giving a listening ear and showing respect to Christopher Hitchens, but I also thought he provided some really strong answers to some of the points that Hitchens brought up. But again, Douglas Wilson and Christopher Hitchens, the movie that it was made into a movie was called Collision. But I would also pick up books by William Lane Craig, by Alistair McGrath, and others that address the points addressed by Hitchens.
Yeah, I know Ravi Zacharias as
Ravi
well.
Zacharias.
He wrote a book called The End of Reason.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, so many great, great books. And we're going to make sure we post all of this on our website, mystaticradio.com, under the podcast section. We'll post all the resources for you, man.
Great. Thank you so much. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too, man.
Happy holidays, and thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
All right. God bless you, man.
There you go. All right. That is it for us. We are done.
A lot of good topics today. Thank you for all our callers, email, Facebook. Yeah.
And obviously, we won't be in next week. Have a Merry Christmas. And the following week after that, it's New Year. So
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah. There you go. All right. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast, mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday. Find all of our past shows there as well. Woo! Tomorrow, that's our last show, you and I, sir.
Yeah.
Till next year. I'll stick around, guys. I'm still here.
He'll stick around.
Mitch and I'll pick it up. He's going on vacay. Woo. It's all good. That's it for Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.